And I'm looking, ready? Okay, we'll get started. Welcome everybody to our special council goal setting retreat. Today is Friday, February 2nd, 2018, and we're located today at the Morro Bay Community Center, Auditorium East, for those viewing at home, not at the Vets Hall. And we do have a quorum, so all members of council are present, and we'll call the meeting to order officially in that way. And we'll get into our agenda today, and just a quick brief remarks on what we're going to do, and then I'll turn it over to our city manager to make some remarks and look for Garrett Olson that's going to also help facilitate this. And it's going to be a very fluid day today. We do have public comment, as always, but I think it's going to be very interactive, and it's an opportunity for us to visit past goals that we've set and take a moment to look at a more focused way of maybe what we want to do in 2018. And once again, it'll be very fluid. Council will be participating as well, and glad to see the attendance in the audience. And with that, I'll turn it over to our city manager, Scott Collins.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. Delighted to be here, and just want to echo Mayor Irons' comments that we appreciate all the input from staff and the community, and looking forward to a really good discussion today to talk about our goals and objectives for 2018. We will take what is learned from today and package it into a staff report and recommendations for the February 27th City Council meeting. And we're going to take great effort to make sure we get that out well ahead of a typical staff report, maybe a week or two in advance, so that the community has a lot of time to review it and provide additional comment to City Council. I just returned from the California League of Cities City Manager annual conference today, and it was a great timing for this council retreat. I learned many things that correspond with the work being done by Morro Bay, especially in regard to our strategic planning effort as well as our financial outlook. For one, the city is working on a path that, with regard to strategic planning, is recognized as a best practice in local government. We're really in good company. Council, community, and staff began work several years ago to identify top goals and priorities for the community. That led to 10 goals and 80 objectives. That list proved a bit too ambitious, and council pared down that to 4 goals and about 20 to 30 objectives last year. The goals and objectives established for last year are really future-oriented. We're able to do that because you have really well-functioning operations that allow us to focus on positive additive things, such as economic development, future planning, wharf project, for instance, where other cities in California, I've learned, are grappling with serious public safety issues or other systemic failures in things like their park systems and also in schools that have bleed over into to what they try to do. We're very fortunate here that we have operations that are well run. That includes water, wastewater parks, our recreation services, facility maintenance, law enforcement, fire emergency services, planning services, building inspections, and then all the administrative functions that support those outfacing or outward facing services that benefit our community and contribute to our well-being. That chunk of effort is about 80 to 90% of your available staff time is focused on doing the day-to-day operations, which it gives us about 10 to 15% of our time to focus kind of on the big picture and the strategy and be future-oriented and look at initiatives that will help move us in a good direction, as well as taking on the occasional emergencies that you can't always predict. The other major area that corresponds with other California cities that I learned over the week is the common worry about the CalPERS pension cost escalation. It was across the board. Every single city manager I met and talked with is very concerned about it. We had folks from CalPERS there discussing the issue and how they may be able to address it, how the governor may be able to provide additional reforms and beyond what PEPRA did provide for the state, as well as some pending court cases that, again, may provide other tools for cities as we address this fiscal issue. This leads me into a review of the existing goals and objectives that Council adopted in 2017. The first being fiscal sustainability. We will see our pension costs grow by 66% from today to fiscal year 24-25. That equates to a $1.6 million increase above what we're paying now for pensions across the board. That, when you factor out the enterprise funds, that's about 8 to 10% of our general fund absorbed by our pensions. City Council and staff were very wise to create a 10-year financial forecast that allows us to predict when these hits will come. Now it is upon us to, now that we know what we're facing, it's upon us to create a strategic approach to mitigate those impacts, to make good decisions that allow us to continue business as usual, as best we can, to provide the services that our community depends upon. It's an opportunity to look at the core services that are most important to the community, look at how we provide those services, and seek opportunities as well to expand our revenue base in a way that it upholds the community character. The other major area, other major goal areas, is, includes the WRF project. As everybody knows, the challenge before council and staff is to make sure that this very important project is as affordable as possible, especially for our low-income, fixed-income individuals and families. But it's also an opportunity to modernize our infrastructure and help stabilize our water supply. We're also looking at community planning and economic development. Again, working with the business community and the broader community to look into the future and how we can develop in a way that maintains the very uniqueness of Morro Bay, the reason why we're all here. And the last major goal area was infrastructure and public spaces. Again, something that all cities are struggling with as they come to grips with rising pension costs is how do they afford to maintain their existing buildings and parks, as well as look into the future about, you know, what is the community going to need in the future and desire, and make sure that we're continuing to provide those. So those are the major four areas that we've looked at. I wanted to hand out, if you could pass these on, go through the objectives kind of one by one and allow council to ask questions. And we have all of our department heads here to take on questions that council may have. But again, those are the four major areas that we're looking at. So what I've passed out is the goals and the objectives, and the focus areas are kind of the actual activities. And then in the far right-hand column, you can see the departments that are participating or would be participating in the implementation of those. We've made progress, I would say, on all fronts, all four of the goals. But work continues on virtually every single objective. Starting with the first, economic and fiscal sustainability, economic development strategic plan, that was adopted by council last year, and we're working very closely with the Chamber of Commerce to come up with a plan of action to make sure that we implement the priority activities in the strategic plan. Along with that, there are a lot of key properties that City Council and staff are looking at, including the power plant, Market Plaza, and the aquarium, and work continues on all of those fronts. The T-bid is spending a lot of time looking at how we can enhance our TOT as well as the tourism department, and that work is continual. There is the cannabis tax that could be a promising source of revenue as we look forward into November. Paid parking and some of the other things like fees we haven't had a lot of time to really explore. And then related to what I kind of opened with, the very uplifting message about CalPERS, looking at the cost reduction side, so we have a new finance director who is spending a lot of time pulling together our mid-year budget for this year and really looking to the next budget year to develop not only how are we going to sustain ourselves in the near term, but long term as well, and what happens if we have a recession, and what kind of emergency things can we put in place so that we're not reacting. Under the WHARF and One Water goal, all of these focused areas are pretty much in play right now. As we know, this is a big year for the WHARF project, with doing our CEQA, going through the RFP process, looking at potential rates, state and federal loan subsidization, and also just getting a report back on the One Water plan. So all of those initiatives are underway. Under public spaces and infrastructure, we haven't made a lot of progress on a potential tax measure. Parking management plans is something that staff has looked into, but we haven't pushed that very far because there's a lot of things competing for that time. Market Plaza, we're working with a broker as directed by City Council. Boatyard RFP, Eric, I don't know if you wanted to kind of give a brief update on that, if you don't mind. Yeah.
There we go. Okay. Sure, and thanks for having me. So, Boatyard, we're putting together an RFP for financial feasibility services, the next logical step. We put out for an RFQ to see if we had any interested developers out there. Obviously, being a fairly project in its infancy at best, nobody is interested in throwing their hat in the ring to come say they want to build a boatyard. So looking at financial feasibility, we did a financial feasibility 25 years ago, so it's pretty old. So it's time to update that, and that'll really tell us whether it's viable or not and whether we want to continue to go on, or whether, you know, the financial feasibility says that's the last nail in the coffin and we're done. So that'll be kind of a go, no-go for the future.
Right. Thank you, Eric. The volunteer program is kind of the Adopt a Park, Adopt the Bench. I think something will be coming back to council.
First meeting in March.
First meeting in March. There you go. Clean public facilities. This is basically become part of the ongoing operations. The maintenance, consolidated maintenance team is taking concerted efforts to improve the quality of our restrooms and other facilities for the public. And I did a tour myself of those facilities, and they're looking really good. So that's really kind of part of the operations going forward. When you flip to the next page, we have the land use plans and policies. So the general plan, the zoning code, and with that, the local coastal plan are all very much in process. Some things that may be related to that are the affordable housing efforts and vacation rentals, though we do have the moratorium that will be ending in June. Is that correct? So we will be bringing something back to City Council prior to that. Code enforcement policies and practices, we haven't had much time to look into those, mainly because the same staff that work on the aforementioned plan updates would also be working on those. The ADU would probably be part of the affordable housing menu of options. And then we haven't had much time to look into the future use of the wastewater treatment facility plant, but that would be something probably in the out years. And then if you move towards the next section, these are initiatives or objectives that were created by or in conjunction with advisory bodies, and they really kind of reach to that level of initiative. It's not necessarily part of the day-to-day operation, so we wanted to call that out. And then the last section are some initiatives that or potential policy areas to look into that either council or staff have recently put on the table. So I don't necessarily want to go through all those, but these are just to give you a flavor of all the things that we have out there to get work on. And I think ultimately, for us, it's identifying the available resources and having council tell us what are the most important priorities so we can kind of schedule accordingly. So does council have any questions to this point?
I have one question. It looks like Red might have a question as well. Go ahead, Red.
The parking for the RV boat storage at the Triangle lot, which is under Harbor Advisory Board, does that conflict with the boatyard?
In terms of
space?
Space.
The boatyard concept as it is now, and it's, again, in its infancy, has a storage element to it. What we are taking, and actually hopefully will come to the council here in the next meeting, what we took to the Harbor Advisory Board was a temporary storage in the parking lot for mainly boats, but RVs if there's space. Would be, again, temporary. If the boatyard evolves and does come to be, then that would be moved aside and made way for the boatyard. So it's an interim use.
Matt, anything? No. Anybody else? I just have a question for Scott Graham as far as land use. Scott, we had a conversation about the general plan, LCP. Maybe you can give us all a little bit of update on the coordination and with the Coastal Commission on that.
Yeah, I mean, so it's kind of exciting right now. I mean, we've released the entirety of, which is about a 90%, 95% big version of Plan Morro Bay, which is the entire update of the local coastal program and general plan. And we have an administrative draft sitting at Coastal right now, waiting for them to respond. We gave it to them about a week ago. We've given them also our draft environmentally sensitive habitat policy, our draft affordable accommodations policy. And so all of those things are sitting in front of them awaiting their response. We requested that they respond within 30 days, and so we're hoping that they'll be able to meet that. They seem to indicate that they would, so we're hoping to get that back. And so once we get that information back from them, we'll bake whatever we need to into that final document and release a public draft that'll first go to the General Plan Advisory Committee. And then subsequently to Planning Commission, and then eventually to Council. So that's kind of where we're at. I think we're on task with the project. We're meeting the timeline and the deadline so far. I'm happy with that, and looking forward to getting responses back from Coastal. And they were happy that we were giving them as much information as we were. So that was a positive response we got back from them, even though they're still short-staffed. In this county, they haven't hired either of the two positions that have been vacated here, either the planner that works on the county stuff or the planner that works for the cities. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag there right now. But
all right, Scott, thanks for that, and thanks for your work in getting that submitted. Mm-hmm. Appreciate sure. it. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Now it is my honor to introduce to you all today our facilitator for the retreat. Garrett Olson is fire chief for the city of San Luis Obispo, and he's on loan here to us today for free, so thank you, city of SLO. Garrett began his career in fire service in 1988 in Orange County and worked for several organizations in Arizona, including Scottsdale, where he was promoted to fire chief in 2011. Thankfully, we were able to steal him over into the county, and he joined the city of SLO in 2012 and began serving as fire chief in 2013. He has helped the city of SLO and several nonprofits in the area work through important strategic discussions, and we are very thrilled to have him facilitate the discussion today. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I will give you a message from your neighbors down the highway. I'm honored to be here representing the city of SLO here to assist this community. We've long enjoyed an amazing relationship. I'm going to move back this way. We've long enjoyed an amazing relationship with the city of Morro Bay, and I think we all realize that with the decommissioning of Diablo, the ability for our communities to collaborate and share resources and look for increased efficiencies and opportunities for better relationships is going to be one of the many keys to the success of our region many years to come. So I'm honored to be here and help you with this process. I'm going to quickly explain a little bit about what's in front of you here. I'm going to revisit our agenda for the day just to apply a little bit of context for the community to understand the engagement opportunity that we're going to afford you in just a few minutes. And then in just a second, because I'm a visual learner, I'm going to discuss my I'm sorry, but it has to be said, my neck pillow analogy about the importance of today. I tried really hard to make it something other than a neck pillow, but I was unsuccessful, so I'm sticking with the neck pillow. What you see on the blue sticky wall before you are all of the goals and objectives that your city manager just went over. Those have been cut down so that they're a little bit more concise than the write-up that you have before you. Thank you. And in a couple minutes, we're going to invite the community and the council to come up and take a look at those. And we're also going to invite the community to provide us input on new goals or new objectives under the existing goals that you would like the council to consider. So in terms of the agenda, we're essentially almost to the neck pillow. We're going to move to public comment, public engagement, and opportunity for the public to share with the council the goals and objectives you would like to see them consider moving forward. And then we're going to bring it back to the council for council to deliberate. You have an amazing staff, and I wish I was counting the number of times that the city manager mentioned the amount of work that each staff member is doing that is concurrent with other important goals and objectives. And so what we hope to accomplish before the end of today, our takeaway, is for the city council to transmit guidance to staff as to the importance of the goals and objectives, the existing ones and any new ones added by council or the community, so the staff can thoughtfully consider all of those goals and objectives as they sequence those for the staff report that will come back on February 27th. At that February 27th meeting, the council and community will have an opportunity to provide input as to whether or not staff got it right. And so staff is listening attentively, and we are excited to have our community here to provide us input. And so with that, I will transition to the neck pillow illustration of what I believe illustrates the importance of not just today, but of what city government does. And this neck pillow, I'm going to start referring to it as our quality of life cycle. And this is a cycle of government listening to and serving the community in a way that creates a quality of life. And it is a cycle that comes back. And so you receive services from city staff, and those services form experiences and perspectives, and there are new realities like what the city manager mentioned about CalPERS realities. And all of those things influence the opinions that you come in the room prepared to share with your city council. And so through a process of engagement, which we're going to get to in just a second, you are going to have an opportunity to share your thoughts with your representative government, these folks here. They're going to listen to your thoughts. They're going to take a look at what you've written and what you have to say. They're going to deliberate. They may have questions for you. And ultimately, what we're going to get out of today is they're going to either set policy or provide guidance to staff. And you have an amazing senior staff that is here right now, all of them present and listening. And that staff is going to take the information that they've heard, the guidance that they've heard. They're actually going to loop back on February 27th to make sure that they got it right. And then they're going to develop programs and services to meet the quality of life goals and the new realities and perspectives of those in the room. And those are going to be delivered by your professional staff and volunteers. And that's going to establish your quality of life, which is going to inform your perspectives and realities, which you're going to come back next year and talk about what your perspectives are through engagement to your elected officials. And it is just a cycle that keeps going that allows this amazing community to continue to represent the wants and needs of its citizens through its elected representatives. But a really important thing to talk about, well, one is we're here today. This is our exciting opportunity. There's a little gap there, and I think of that gap not as a neck pillow, but as a spark plug, the gap in a spark plug, where an incredible amount of energy is transmitted across that gap. And that's what's going to happen here today. We are going to listen and winnow down the hopes and dreams of this community and transmit that as guidance to the council that staff is going to put into the February 27th staff meeting report, and it's going to come back and it's going to inform the programs and services that provide your professional staff and volunteers the opportunity to meet the quality of life needs that this community has. But one other important reality is, and your city manager mentioned it quite well, is this is an enviable process. These are enviable goals. If you traveled across the United States or read the newspaper, you would know that there are many other communities that struggle with goals that aren't as quality of life driven. They may be driven by fires happening without homes being put out and people dying. They might be driven by a bad relationship between the police department and a community. Those things aren't the reality in Morro Bay, but they're not a reality in Morro Bay because you have amazing staff delivering amazing services. And so this cycle of quality of life is really a three-dimensional one. We are able to talk about these goals because they sit on a solid foundation of the core services that are offered to this community through your staff. In other communities, so these are the goals that have surfaced thus far. In other communities, the goals that surface in those communities oftentimes are much more dire and critical and indicative of a poor health or relationship or poor service delivered by staff. So I will just share with you my opinion as somebody who has traveled the United States and who reads the newspaper. This is an amazing opportunity for this community to talk about some incredible lofty goals, and you're only able to do that because you are in engaged enough to have fantastic core services delivered by your staff. So that's the neck pillow analogy. We are at this spark plug gap opportunity to transmit amazing information from the community and your elected officials to staff to inform the quality of life. And so our next step in that process is we're actually going to invite all of you to come up and take a look. I know you can't read them from where you are, what the goals and objectives are. And I'm going to have two sheets of paper for you and pens. And as you look at those goals and objectives, this is going to be your opportunity to add net new ones. So I will give you a blank piece of paper, I'll give you a pen, and if you have a new goal, I'll ask you to put the new goal under that heading here. If you have an objective, something about the wharf that isn't captured in one of those objectives, I'll ask you to fill out a different sheet, a colored sheet of paper, and put it here underneath the wharf. And we'll allow that to organically happen, encourage you to engage in dialogue. We'll allow that to happen until it looks like we're getting to a point of appropriate fatigue, and then we'll call it back together and give you an opportunity to come up and share with us your thoughts, hopes, and dreams through public comment. We'll be allotting 3 minutes per person to come up and share with us what you'd like. So having said that, if there are any questions, I'd like to defer back to the mayor before we go to public comment and engagement.
Any questions from council? So at this point, we're going to open it up for the audience to come up and be engaged in this process so we can shut down and we can get up as council members and do that as well.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So if you have an objective or a goal that you'd like to add, just come see me. I'll give you a pen and a piece of paper, and we really want to hear your thoughts. So thank you very much. So thank you so much for that. Your council has had an opportunity to come up and take a look at the new additions to goals and objectives that you've added. They've had an opportunity to appreciate your sense of the priority of those goals and objectives. And so now I'm going to invite those members of the public that would like to come up and provide us with your public comment. We're going to allot you 3 minutes, but we'll be a little bit soft on that. And so if you'll just come up to the podium here, we'll afford you an opportunity for public comment, particularly if you put a new goal or objective up there, we would love for you to come and provide that detail so your council members can consider that in the next phase of today, which is their deliberation.
Hi, my name is Glenn Siloway. I'm a resident of Morro Bay, and today I'm here on behalf of the Historical Society of Morro Bay. I understand that I've got 3-plus minutes. There's so many people here who want to talk. Today, I want to announce to you that thanks to a generous grant from the Dr. Sammy Solu, MD, Charitable Foundation, the Historical Society is in a position to begin planning for improvements to the new Franklin Riley Park. Yeah, it's really good news. This is one of the very special things that's happened to the society, and I hope to the town. We know we're going to be going into a planning phase. We're going to be working with the Recreation and Parks Commission and other parts of the city as needed to get to a point where we can make these things happen. There will be a dedication event, a community-wide picnic or celebration later in summer, and we will invite all of you to come and help us inaugurate this new park. Which brings me to the point of this in goals. Despite the fact that the Solu Foundation has been generous to us, there's a very good chance that we're going to get to the end of our planning and there's going to be a gap between what we'd like to do and what we need to do. So I'm going to be talking here about your goal number 3.5. That carryover from 2017 is about encouraging the city to partner in some fashion with volunteer groups to leverage the contributions of citizens to help beautify public spaces. That's our key objective here. The park is that we're talking about, the Riley Park, is certainly one of those. We're fortunate because we have some money to start on. But in many cases, these groups are simply working on volunteer time, and there's a few people here in this audience who've given an awful lot of their time to these projects. What I'm hoping is that you can, and I put some language up here, by the way. That little piece of white paper is just an initial thought about how that goal might be rewritten, that item, to put some more teeth into the goal. Currently, you have both Public Works and Recreation and Parks, the Recreation Services Division, as responsible parties. I've been through this before in working with the Recreation and Parks Commission to get something approved and then have to go to Public Works to work with maintenance to actually get it done. There's a gap in there that we need to work on. I think there's an organizational issue that you need to work on. The second thing is I would like this goal to be rewritten so that it's a little bit more explicit about the fact that the city will be leveraging volunteer organization resources and support through its willingness to partner not just in planning but in committing in-kind and non-monetary contributions to help make those projects function. You do that already in some cases, and we appreciate it. But it's not a fully functioning policy yet, and there's no actual budget for it. So it has to come out catch-as-catch-can as projects evolve and as some individuals are better at dealing with the bureaucracy and the processes than others. It's not clear that there's a systematic way to choose priorities among these organizations. This is not just a simple-minded or gratuitous issue. We are a tourist town, and we depend on them and on the safety and health and happiness of our citizens to make this a better place. Public spaces can help do that. There's a lot of research, in fact, that public spaces improvements do generate good attitudes, good feelings, and return visits from tourists. So if we can figure out a way to leverage more of these volunteer efforts on projects that will help our public spaces to beautify our town and keep it that way, I think we'll all be better off. Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn.
Good Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Aaron Oakes. I'm a Morro Bay resident, and I wanted to take the opportunity to thank everyone for coming to the Goals Workshop. I wanted to thank the City Council for being extremely receptive to a lot of the suggestions that members of the public have made, and I wanted to thank staff for allowing not only residents but the council to always to also weigh in on a lot of our goals and accomplishments and a lot of the things that we can do. I'm fairly confident that we can bridge the gap, you know, and heal the community by having a robust dialogue on these issues. So one of the issues I wanted to talk about today is about the Morro Bay Water Reclamation Facility. One of my goals as a former Los Osos resident, we've talked about ensuring affordability for the sewer there, and I want to make sure that we ensure affordability for the water reclamation facility here. I think there are steps that can be made to make that happen. First and foremost, I think it's important to hire a project manager to make sure that we have an independent analysis of all the consultant reports and all the estimates that are coming at us real quickly. It's hard for a lot of residents like me to keep up with a lot of developments that are going on. I think a project manager would be perfect to facilitate the dialogue and to ensure that we're getting all the necessary information about this project. Someone actually added underneath my suggestion, it says utility discount program. I think that's really, really important. I mean, PG&E has a utility discount program for Los Osos that I think is helping out with monthly cost. I think that's really important to have a discussion on that. I believe that someone added to the goals to have a information about the water reclamation facility on the website. I think that's really important to do that because currently right now it's just sort of a blank page and we just have to figure out where everything is. It's a little chaotic, but I think with a few small adjustments we can create more transparency on the website and for the public at large. So I want to also hope that the council focuses on more loan and grant financing options. Just to let you guys know that when you have a loan for the project, a lot of the residents are going to be paying interest as well, so a lot of those costs are going to be passed down to ratepayers. So when you have like a Prop 218, you know, all that's going to be included in there. It's just going to keep going, getting higher and higher and higher. And I just really want to rein in a lot of the money that people are going to be paying for the sewer. I think it's a problem I see for a lot of low-income residents and senior citizens to be paying for a project that's going to be escalating in cost. So I'd like to see where all the money's going. I'd like to see more transparency in that. I know I'm going a little all over the place, but it seems as though a lot of people are really on top of this. There's a lot of goals that I thought would be great, and people already came up with them, including better communication with the citizens. I think that's really important. I'm in favor of having a engagement transparency portal that makes it easier for residents to interact with their elected representatives and staff. But I think, you know, after talking to some of the council members and staff here, I think it's doable. I think it's going to be a reality. So thank you for your time.
Thanks, Aaron.
Good afternoon. My name is Jim Reed. I've lived in Morro Bay. My wife and I have lived here for 17 years. The issue I would like to see addressed as soon as practical and possible is the vacation rental situation. I think this is a ticking quality of life time bomb, particularly in the beach tract in Morro Bay Heights. And we happen to live in Morro Bay Heights, and within my small circle around my house, there are five operating bed and breakfast or vacation rentals at the moment, and I think another one that's just started under the counter. An ordinance is needed. It doesn't have to be a complicated issue at first. It may need a lot of tweaking, but the county has a perfectly good ordinance in this regard. Other cities nearby do. This is something that could almost be boilerplated initially, even though it may need fine-tuning at some point. We have not had any good response to some letters we've written. I've had some individual discussions with some of the council members, John and Marlis particularly, about this. We have had planned to have several citizens coming to the next city council meeting for public comment. I think it would be appropriate now to possibly put that off till the February 27th meeting after this may have been discussed by staff. But I think this is needed. I think it's growing quickly. I think there are much more, there are many more of these units that are operating under the counter than we think. And I believe it has to stop. I also feel that any grandfathering of vacation rentals now that are advertised in real estate sections saying licensed vacation rental for sale, I think that's something that has to be addressed. And I don't believe that just simply having this moratorium in place on new ones really has accomplished anything except kicking the can down the road. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Council, staff. I appreciate this workshop, and I came mostly to talk about our quality of life. Morro Bay is such a special place, and I've written all of you.
Linda, could you state your name for the
record? Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Linda Merrill, 35-year resident of Morro Bay. I really do appreciate you all putting the quality of life on your agenda here tonight, today, because to me, this is the essence of who we are. I'm thankful for the small town atmosphere. I'm thankful for the state parks that surround our town. And I think that as a city, we need to recognize these different parks that we have that make our quality of life important. And I would like to ask your continued support for the Sea Otter, a day to celebrate the Sea Otter, if that's possible. I appreciate a responsive government, and I have to say that the employees that I interact with have always been very, very helpful and quick to respond to any concerns I have. So I want to thank them all for what they've done for us. I would like to have our Tree City revisited, and that we could examine exactly what that means to us. Why do we care that we are a tree city? And I would like to ask whoever would help us with this in the city to replant some of our trees. I know we've had a drought and that's a problem, but we need to maintain our beautiful urban forest. I don't know how much time I have here. One more minute. I'm concerned about the eelgrass, and I wrote several notices here, and I find that the eelgrass was laid down in the bay yesterday because of low tide. And there's some browning off, and the there is concern about the heat and whether or not that might influence the health of the eelgrass, but I guess most of it's green right now, so that isn't a big problem. I appreciate our rock and open areas of our beaches, our piers, our back bay, and the back bay is especially valuable because the birds make this their home, and I know that we all appreciate that, specifically in the wintertime. When we have the birds wintering here, they've escaped the cold, and they've come here to have a better life for themselves, and I think we need to appreciate them. And except for the hunting area, we do protect them, you know, from anything. So anyway, I appreciate your support for seniors, And I am concerned about the cost of the sewer because this could drive a lot of us out of town. And I hope that you will continue your hard work to support affordable sewer. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Linda.
My name is Homer Alexander. I suggest you include in this year's goal number 2, objective F, a public forum to discuss state water. The forum's panel would include senior managers from the State Department of Water Resources, the Central Coast Water Authority, the County of San Luis Obispo, and our city attorney. The panel would lead a discussion regarding the potential future costs and sustainability of our state water deliveries. The reason I'm including the county is they have an allocation of 25,000 acre-feet of state water, but use less than half of that allotment. I assume it would be important to know what the county's future plans are for that unused allotment. The reason to include our city attorney is state water came to Morro Bay by a vote of the people in 1991. What impact does that vote, Measure G, have on the city's ability to sell some or all of its existing allocation of the 1,313 acre-feet of state water? I know the staff is relying on the Carrillo Engineering to provide solutions for the city's long-term potable water needs when the city engaged them to prepare the One Water Plan. But has Carrillo had an in-depth conversation with the folks in Sacramento regarding the future of the state water project? Will their conclusions be objective? In the next few months, the city will make important decisions regarding its future potable water supply. From everything I've heard, it will be made on the assumption that the state water will be too expensive and it's not consistently available. In my opinion, getting the facts directly from the public agencies that have some level of control over the city's future cost of supplies would be important. Thank you.
Thanks, Homer.
Good afternoon, Council, staff. My name is Joan Solu, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I'd like to speak to you regarding your fiscal year 2017-2018 goals. In that goal-setting workshop, you adopted goal number 1 as an essential goal, achieve economic and fiscal sustainability. I see from the red marks that most of our community members here today, we need to continue to achieve that goal. I see from number 2, with 2 marks over here, green is one that I put up there, which was do not start another goal before completion of all of your goals that you already adopted. So let's start with the basics. It's like hopscotch. 1, 2, 3, 4, right? Under one of those goals, there was, under goal number 1, it is, this goal includes objectives related to revenue enhancement, general economic development, cost control, and assurance of sound financial management practices are in place. Under that, it's A, consider the proposed strategies in the economic development strategic plan and act on those most likely to generate revenues in the near term. And then it continues on. On the city's website, I'm listed on your economic strategies team. I haven't had contact from anyone in the city in almost 18 months. I'm wondering, is this goal only arriving every time there's an election? Under that area, there's also C, evaluate and implement opportunities to increase TOT revenues, including but not limited to take appropriate action, including implementation of specific programs to increase shoulder season and off-season TOT producing visitor nights by 10% over fiscal year 2016 levels. You should ask for a report on that. 2, research and bring to council for decision incentive programs, including a TOT rebate program that would reasonably result in the renovation of some existing hotel stock and deliver higher average daily rates, thus higher TOT revenues. You should ask for a report on that. Facilitate private revitalization redevelopment activities that will result in planning approval for a 3% increase in the number of hotel rooms. You should ask for a report on that. Then we continue on. Under that, the City Council made a resolution. It was adopted in a 5-0 vote. Under that resolution, 03-16, number 3, the TBID Advisory Board shall participate in the annual review of the City Tourism's manager and will assist in setting goals and matrix to measure the success of the community's tourism promotions and marketing undertaken by this contracted professional. The Advisory Board shall review and make recommendations for the selection of any future tourism manager. You should ask for a report on that. Number 5, the City shall commit $300,000 in transient occupancy taxes to the city's tourism operations. That started at $90,000, and I can give you a report on that. It's supposed to increase to $120,000. Your partners, the hoteliers, are expecting to see that happen this year. You should ask for a report on that. Number 6, the city's professional tourism professionals shall be provided office space in a city facility. Number 7, in order to focus as much as the TBID assessment as possible on directly promoting and marketing Morro Bay, the city shall provide for accounting, legal advice, IT support, as well as the aforementioned office space. Please look in the TBID budget, and you will see that we are being charged out for that. You should ask for a report on that. As I see it, in your resolution, you're not meeting your side of the signed agreement. You should ask for a report on that.
Thanks, Joan.
Hello, Erica Crawford from the Chamber of Commerce. In the spirit of a retreat, I guess it was a little more conversational, so I didn't prepare any remarks for you guys. But goal one, something that's been on my radar since I started 2 years ago. I originally started working with the Chabon Concepts on the Economic Development Roadmap, I think in April of 15 or 16. Very excited to report that in the past few months, since your new city manager, Scott Collins, has come on board, we really have been looking deeply into the plan and figuring out ways to implement it in ways that do generate revenue, you know, the first signs of revenue. Part of what we've looked at and really been considering is that our community is uniquely challenged with economic development. We don't have a ton of space to plunk down something that will generate new sales tax revenue. We need to look toward one another, toward other, our kind of our, I represent what, almost 300 businesses in the community. And we need to be working together, talking to one another, because investment flows through trust. So what we're looking at is a plan that Chico, California, has implemented, and working with Chabon Concepts, which is based in that community, to be doing constant outreach, mentoring, and workforce training. They accomplish that through rain or shine monthly business walks, where they're coming into each of our 4 economic centers and talking about what are your top 3 challenges in this community or in this part of your economic center. What can we do to combat those things or to answer those things? And then they drop sort of a postcard for a meeting, a follow-up meeting that would happen within the next couple of weeks. That could be based on public safety. It could be community development directed. The key is that it's the business community, it's the city. We would be getting business resource groups like SCORE, maybe Mission Community Services Corporation, maybe Questa coming in, and all kind of combating this as one big team. So I'm speaking off the cuff, but I just want you to know that we've been meeting regularly since November to really look at this plan and make it adapt to fit what Chabon had proposed and what the city had funded. You know, we want to make sure that this isn't a plan that hangs out on a shelf. We want to implement this plan. So thank you.
Thanks, Erica.
Hello. My name is Chuck Stoll. I live here in Morro Bay. Been a citizen for 15 years. Having been a Cal Poly student, I'm pretty familiar with this area for the last 40 or, well, let's say a little more than 40 years. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone here for all their time, all their effort. This is a huge responsibility, and it's an endeavor, all these goals and objectives. Having been in education, I know a little bit about goals and objectives, and it's difficult to achieve everything that you want to. But having a son that had gone to University of Santa Cruz, little shout out for Santa Cruz. you know, we're all concerned, of course, about the quality of life. Couple things. One is, I'm not discouraged, but I would hope there'd be more people involved in this process. When you have a population of 10,000, maybe half of those are on vacation someplace, but at least we have a few people, and I think they've addressed the goals and objectives quite well thus far, especially Glenn Silloway, who I have great admiration for because he takes on so many different projects, one of which is the service organizations and the different volunteer groups. And I certainly hope that you paid attention, which I'm sure you did, to what he had to say, because it's very, very important that we address this issue of the volunteerism in this small community. We cannot afford to hire everybody that we need, and so I think we there's some value to that, I'm sure. What I've always kind of wondered about is why there's not, and maybe Joan addressed this a bit, why there's not more diversity in our revenue stream. I know that up north around the Silicon Valley and Santa Cruz and so on, there are a number of companies that are just Amazon, for one, looking for a home. And maybe we can maybe attract some more business here that would be good paying, could afford the housing, and afford some of the amenities that we do have in this community. And I'm just wondering if we have a goal or an objective in that area. Sustainability, maybe it's under sustainability. How do we attract other businesses into this community? Green businesses, preferably, that can afford it and that can enhance our revenue stream. I just don't know how much more we can count on hotels and tourism and the taxes imposed on all those people. So it's always kind of been a concern of mine. Not that I've been in business, but those of you who have, maybe you can address this more directly. Again, I just really want to thank all of you for taking this time and this effort to include the community, and I just wish there was more involvement. I would like to talk more about the our plant, our sewer plant, and our water reclamation, but I've been able to communicate with some of our city council, and once again, I appreciate their time and their effort in that respect, that they've always been open, they've always been willing to talk, and I think we need to communicate that to the rest of our community, that if you have an interest, if you have a concern, that our staff in this city is more than willing to talk to you about it, and I really appreciate that. So, again, thank you very much.
Thanks, Chuck. Anybody else for public comment?
Well, thank you for your public comment. I know that the council was very attentive to your comment, both in writing and when you were speaking, but I also know that there are some goals and objectives that are up here that didn't get into the public record because they weren't specifically highlighted. So as we close public comment, And if you can help me, if I need to decipher your intent or writing, please do. I'm just going to highlight what it is you shared with us on the board in your own words, and then we'll bring it back to council. Council will have an opportunity to add two goals and objectives, and then we're going to take a brief break, and I'm going to reset the giant sticky wall for our final exercise, which is going to be to ask you to begin to provide guidance to your city staff on the goals and objectives in priority order. So let me just close these out real quick. Here's an acknowledgement to do goal 1, 1.1, 1.3, 1.2, and 1.5. Here is a comment about goal number 2, objective F, public forum to discuss state water. I believe that was mentioned earlier. Thank you. Assign a budget for the wharf. I believe this one was read into the record, so thank you for that. Code enforcement is a priority here, and enact vacation ordinance quickly before general plan update. It is a priority. Incorporate VRBO RVs into TBID TOT at 3%. Manage homeless issues. Better communication with the citizens. Make a website that works. Community trust and communication. Constant, varied, and repetitive. Do not start another goal before completion of all goals and resolutions you started last cycle, and I'll be revisiting that in just a minute because you know we're dealing with finite resources. Ensure affordability of the wharf and a utility discount program, and finally, implement marijuana ordinance. So those are all of the comments that were shared by our residents, and that way we've captured it for the record. So now, Mayor, I'm going to give it back to council for council to identify net new or modifications to existing goals or ordinances. And once you've done that, before you begin your deliberation on your priorities, we're going to take a break so I can reset the board. That work for us?
Okay, so to understand, you want feedback on the new goals that were just listed?
Feedback on the goals that were just listed, as well as if council has any new goals that have not already been articulated, new goals or objectives.
Okay, and I think might need some help on some of those, because some of those are, as I understand it, some of the items that are listed on there are kind of currently in play, and it might be helpful to have some feedback from staff on identifying those for us. Can we go about that first?
Excuse me. Yes, we can. Let's see, do you just want me to go one by one?
Sure, I mean, I don't know if we can help go through that. Sure.
Okay. So we'll start over here. Yes, we're working on these goals, 1.1, 2, 3, 5, and some of the points that Joan raised were good ones, and we expect to have a pretty good conversation about kind of TOT and TBID in the context of the mid-year budget. Very, very good questions that she raised. Goal number 2, objective F, would be a public forum to discuss state water. Certainly that's something we would consider. Is that something we could do, Rob, do you think?
So that's something that's not ongoing, but we could have a discussion on.
Right.
Okay.
I think as part of the next visit to One Water, we'll start that discussion. We've already started that discussion with the county on what our state water contract means, and have engaged our city attorney's office to, because that contract goes back to the original 1960s state contract, so they're reviewing that contract language in there. And in my view, state water is probably part of our water mix for the foreseeable future, just because of its importance to the entire state.
Okay. Thank you, Rob. Assign a budget for the wharf. Jen, we're working on that currently, correct? To have kind of it all in one place for residents?
Yeah, so we have an annual budget in place. We won't be able to do a total budget until we have a better project defined.
So probably for next fiscal year, we'll have a single budget for the wharf.
Depending on the state of the design of the project.
Right. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Let's see here. Code enforcement is a priority. I think code enforcement is still listed as one of the objectives under this goal. exact a vacation ordinance quickly before general plan update. As I mentioned, a moratorium is in place through June. We're having discussions internally about potential ordinances to bring forward to council prior to that. Yes, there are templates. I worked for the city of Santa Cruz and went through a pretty lengthy process to enact a new an ordinance. They didn't have one prior to, and they are constantly tweaked. We have to go through a coastal commission process to get approval of that to be able to put in force. Is that correct, Scott?
That's correct. And the vacation rental piece of the update process that we're in now is part of the zoning code update, which is broken into five modules. We're on module two, and we'll be bringing that forward to the Planning Commission next week on the 6th. And that has development standards in it. Module three will be the piece, so the next module, will be the piece that includes vacation rental discussions.
Thank you, Scott. Incorporate VRBOs, RVs into TBID, TO2 at 3%. TBID took this issue up in their December meeting, and there was a 2-2 vote on what to do with that. And then there was no vote to continue the item. So TBID has effectively not addressed this issue. I think from staff's perspective, dealing with the vacation rental ordinance first would maybe be the more appropriate step, and then bring it back, this assessment back to the TBID or just directly to council after that's addressed. Managing homeless issues, this is something that really is brought forward by staff. We're dealing with homeless issues in terms of our emergency response and dealing with it in our creeks and other park locations. So it was something we felt was important to at least raise the specter of council for their consideration. There's a lot more than just the public safety response to this issue, of course. Better communication with citizens, make a website that works. Community trust kind of falls in that same category. Since I have a communications background, this is very important to me. I know this is very important to council as well as staff. We had a communications position. It's not filled at this time, so we've kind of absorbed it, and we're taking pains to make sure that we're on our financial side, we're as transparent as possible and looking at new tools to do that. So this is something very important to me, and I will make a concerted effort to improve not only the way we communicate currently, but look for new opportunities to do it, to reach people where they're at. Do not start another goal before completion of all goals. I'll leave that up to our facilitator to take on. Ensure affordability for the wharf, a utility discount program. I think there's several council members that are very interested in that, so let's leave that for the next discussion and then implement.
Scott, yes. Just let me add something. The city has an existing utility discount program. Maybe we don't get that information out there enough, but if you qualify for any of the other utilities discount programs, you'll qualify for ours. So we do have one in place to help with existing water and sewer rates.
Right. So maybe it's just working on the communication on that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And then implement marijuana ordinance that goes into effect July 1st, 2018. All right.
Okay. Thanks, Scott. So with that, input from council on any of those discussed items, and looking towards Red, maybe you want to start off on some comments there?
Yeah. To begin, the utility discount program, I know that we have that in place now. And what I'm looking for is a way to augment that program to help our lower income citizens to pay the increased water bills. And I would look for new revenue to do that. The most obvious place for new revenue right now is a cannabis tax. So as we proceed through the rest of this calendar year, I would like for the November tax measure that we have agreed to bring to the people for cannabis tax to include some language that talks about increasing the utility discount program fund to be able to help more people at a higher rate. And then on, excuse me, on economic development, I added a phrase up there to for the economic development strategic plan to partner with the chamber. And Erica talked about that. We are taking steps. Scott and Erica and I have met several times. And it's difficult to really take concrete steps because of lack of resources right now, time and people. So I would like to explore the possibility of developing a financial partnership with the chamber through an MOU to ask the chamber to produce some of the deliverables that are described in the economic development strategic plan and use some of our salary savings for that. We have a vacant deputy city manager position. The primary responsibility for that position was economic development. As we continue to, and I don't know how long we can hold that position vacant, that's kind of up to Scott, but I would like to explore the possibility with the council of using salary savings from that to help the chamber help us to deliver the economic development strategic plan. So,
okay, thanks, Red. Matt.
Yes, I'd like to also echo what Red talked about in terms of the disc. I constantly hear quite a bit from residents about the low income issue of the rate structure. And as we're going forward with this current next incarnation of the rate structure, maybe not if we can build it into there, that'd be wonderful, or if we can come up with other measures to help with that and also give that out to our residents saying that we are. I mean, we just given the sheer nature of our makeup of our community in terms of people on fixed incomes or lower incomes, that's huge. One of the items that came up there over and over seemed to be, and we've gotten a lot in the last few, actually we get it quite a bit, is this whole idea of communication, transparency, clarity. And sometimes I figure that I'm too close to the fire, and I think I understand that everything's being communicated properly, but I hear this constantly. So I'd like to somehow, if we can investigate a varied structure of communication, not just Facebook, not just the website, we can put it on public access TV, through the rock radio station, but a constant, varied, almost inconsistent communication that is varied enough that kind of can hit on a number of cylinders, and that way we can catch a larger amount of people listening, watching, doing whatever, to hear about the important items about whatever is going on, and that includes all items. In terms of the One Water program, I would like to do, and up there I think it was somewhat mentioned, is have some sort of starting a dialogue or an extended dialogue with our business community. From our hoteliers to our people who are using a lot of water, our restaurants, and have them come in and have them engage in the dialogue about our upcoming rate structure. Our business community is a huge user of our water, and they pay a lot of the bills of our water. And so coming up with this, the One Water plan, sure enough, but then with the wharf and with the state water contract, it's very necessary to have them involved in the dialogue. And that's about it.
Okay, Matt, John?
Sure. Thank you. The first comment I would make is I think that the question was new goals to consider. And if you look back at the definition that we have developed for goals, these are very broad, long-term initiatives that actually encompass a number of years. And first thing that I note is many of these are objectives that might fit into the goals that we already have. And And so I think that observation is noteworthy. Second, the one goal that I might consider adding that I think maybe even permeates through all of them, and Matt captured it well, and it's one of the blue sheets, the only blue sheet that I put up there, had to do with communication, better communication. I called it community trust, and I put in parentheses really communication. And I think that it's worthy to have a dialogue if that's reasonable enough to consider possibly as an additional goal, because it just transcends literally everything that we do. And if we could somehow develop a routine format of consistently communicating with the community and dialoguing with the community where the message is consistent, current, and accountability is built in, I think it could be very helpful. And the other comment I'd make is that somebody talked about, you know, we've got a lot of goals up there and a lot of objectives, and I think many of them are multi-year goals that will span up to 8 years, and some of these that have been identified, especially the financial of fiscal sustainability. So I'm not really into wanting to add a lot of meat, but maybe focus on if there are goals there that can be removed that are no longer important, and if there are new, or I should say objectives that are no longer relevant, the opportunity to pare those down may be helpful. And then secondarily, incorporating any of the new ideas that we've had for objectives, those could be added in. I think we have limited resources. I know we have limited resources in terms of staff time. And we really have to be mindful of not consuming all of their time with a large number of objectives that are just not going to be achievable over time. The last comment I'll make is what I would consider to be accountability. And I think if, and I'm speaking to what Joan Solu commented on, and I think it's an example systemically of a problem or an issue or an opportunity. And that is when we have these goals and they're reported, we've done that pretty much in a fragmented pattern until today. And usually when you have goal statements like this, you outline the objective. You have who's responsible, as Scott has done here today. And then there is a fairly detailed report on what the measurable outcomes are. So it has to be measurable. And if it's not measurable, how do you ever know when you get there? And then when you have established the measurements, routinely, quarterly or whatever, broadly, we should report on all of these, because I think the question was asked, you know, ask about where we are on these goals, and I don't know. And I think that's because they have been reported in a very fragmented fashion. That's not anyone's fault. It's just by virtue of the fact that there's been a lot of transition in management, and we're now catching up and reformatting. And so accountability for routine reporting, the ability to measure and monitor the objectives that we have, and to know when we've achieved them and then take them off the table when we're done would be important to me. Thanks.
Thanks, John.
You ready for me?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to thank everybody for coming out today. It's great to see members of the community that are interested and want to come out and participate in this process, which is really the most important process that we engage in throughout the year. Many citizens are concerned about how we spend our money, and I tell them, if you're concerned about that, you need to come to the goals planning workshop, because that's where we decide how we're going to spend our money. And once we've decided that, we pretty much spend it according to that budget. So this is the very first, most important step in the process. And I just want to echo John's comments. I completely support the idea that we need a more regularized way to keep track of and monitor progress on the objectives. I also think we need to have some kind of a timeline for some of these and a sense of priorities, because we can't accomplish all of them, as we've seen when we report back. So it would be really important, I think, to have a sense of what the staff can really work on and accomplish next year. And then some of those can be more longer term. But I think it really is a question of prioritization. I would also add that several speakers commented on this idea of leveraging organizations in the community, whether it's the chamber, whether it's a historical society, or some of the beautification groups that exist. I think we need to figure out a way to do that, a more organized way. I know that I personally am concerned about the partnership policy, and I think that's something where we do actually try to assess what's the benefit of a particular community organization that wants to partner with us. We need to really look at that policy carefully and try to figure out ways that we can utilize other groups in the community in a, maybe it's a quid pro quo, or as Mr. Silloway commented on, if somebody's bringing a pot of money to the table, what can the city provide to help to make that happen? We just need to think, I think, better about that, because we need to really utilize the resources in our community. Otherwise, I really believe we have not expanded our objectives in any significant way. I think we talked, except for perhaps this issue of communication. And I would agree with that, that we need a better way to communicate with the citizens. I'm not sure what it is, but it's fairly clear that we aren't getting our messages out. And the next year is going to be so important with the WRF project and the possible 218 vote that we really have to get accurate information out to the citizens on a regular basis. So I really would, that's something that we need to think about. And that's what my comments. Thank you.
Thanks, Marlis. So, Garrett, you want feedback on what's up there and which we've done, and then we'll take a break, a recess, and then you're going to come back, and we're going to go through another exercise to kind of prioritize and distill everything down.
Precisely. So now would be the opportunity, if you have any net new objectives or goals or any comments or questions about what's existing, and then I'm going to give everybody a 10-minute break while I reset the board for that prioritization exercise.
Yeah, thanks. So I just echo my thanks as well to the folks providing input with us today that are here, and some that haven't been here but have provided input, and then staff and council for putting this today, and then Eric Garrett, thanks for you putting the time in with us today. So great comments from everyone, and I was thinking about whether or not we're talking about, first of all, the goals that we're seeing that are up there. Some of them are that do actually fit into what we're doing. Some are actually in play and in progress. The homeless issue is, I think, one that is worth having a better discussion on. The communication, I think we could probably have another discussion on that. A lot of the other things are ongoing that we can do. I think I support the idea that we finish what we started. So we identify what we started. We identify that we are either going to continue to do those or we're going to finish what we started before we continue on to something else. And I will say we are fortunate that we have a strategic planning framework policy that got us here. And for the viewing audience and for maybe for some of the folks here today, that was a new policy that we worked on to, you know, set up how we do our goals year in and year out. Maybe one thing that can be refined as part of that policy is to identify the initial goal setting, the workshop in that. So, and it's in our goal setting, our strategic policy in that on a four-year cycle. So in 2019, right, we'll go through a broad goal setting workshop. This particular exercise that we're going through now are goals that we've already established, and we're refining those that we want to accomplish this year. So some of this is I'm articulating for the viewing audience, but also as we look forward. So in 2019, we'll go through a broad public workshop on starting from scratch on all these. And some of these goals may be included. So the exercise we're going through right now are things we've already started, and we want to make sure we're picking off the list to say, this is what we're going to get done this year. And so it's not being dismissive in, do we have a broad outreach in our community on these? We've already done a deep dive in some of the goal setting to get where we are today. So that's kind of the overall view for that. But perhaps as we revisit going into 2019, when we get into that strategic framework policy and what we do, it probably worthwhile to revisit how we do a goals workshop for us in 2019 and educate everybody on, hey, this is our deep dive in goals and our goals workshop. The next year, we're going to do a high-level evaluation of that, and so on and so forth. And then the other part of that would be, as echoed by Joan Solo and our council members as well, this reporting and accountability. The strategic framework, you know, sets out the policy and how we go about setting our goals, but it probably doesn't really identify the reporting and the accountability part of that. So I just want to lay out that groundwork. I think it's been articulated, but it's probably something we should revisit. Some of the goals as far as we get into some of the specifics, we have vacation rentals on there as well. We've assigned a budget for WRF, which is ongoing. And I just will also identify, as we look at these, we've had code enforcement, boat and RV is one, vacation rental and sign ordinance as an ongoing objective for the city. And I know it weighs on everyone and on those, let's say, those three items as an example with different priorities for a lot of folks in the community. And in my response to talking with the constituents, we work through those processes incrementally. We, as we've discussed, we may not have the capacity to deal with all of them at once, so we work through those incrementally, which is what I think we're doing. So this process, we need to make that choice and decide which one of those are we going to do, knowing that when we're done with that, we'll get to the next one. So that's just, in essence, speaking to the vacation rental one that was up there. And before I close, I do want to ask Scott Graham a question. I have to put the Graham in there now because Scott one T or two T's, but I'll do that. Yeah. But I do want to ask, because we did do a moratorium on the vacation rental, and the discussion from council at that time was to thoughtfully consider the initiatives and work that we have on the table currently, the largest being the general plan and LCP. And so if we want to stick to our priorities, that we're going to have to do, in my previous statement, do things incrementally. So I just wonder if you can respond from the vacation rental portion of those things, starting on something like on that now, and how that integrates into the work we're doing in the general plan LCP, and the kind of effect that it's going to have on your department and the work if we're going to make a decision on moving forward on a vacation rental versus a sign ordinance, which is on our agenda planning guide to discuss as well. So if you can just talk about that briefly.
I'm going to start with the last item first. The sign ordinance is done.
Not back to us.
It hasn't come to council, and going back to council, we'll just show it to you.
Yeah.
I've actually handed it over to the consultant because it needs to be baked into our zoning code update that we're underway right now. Council's also authorized staff and budgeted money accordingly to do a comprehensive update of the zoning code, and so these things are all paralleling one another. the zoning code piece is trailing behind a little bit because we had to have land use set in the general plan before we could get to the zoning code piece, because that deals with the land use, and then until you figure out what that is, you really can't go do zoning. And so now we're on, again, module 2 of zoning. We're moving into module 3 probably within the next month or so, depending on how long it takes us to get to, through the development standards, given there's some interest in the height in the downtown, right? But that's the plan. So we're going to be picking that up. I don't think the vacation rental ordinance is part of the zoning code update that we're doing, so it's part of the process we're already in. As was stated, and I think Scott mentioned this too, there are a lot of existing ordinances out there. So we're not going to recreate the wheel. We're going to start from known quantities, and we're going to start from vacation rental ordinances that have made it through the process and been certified by Coastal. So we know we have a solid foundation and starting point. So we know we're not going to hopefully run into a bunch of problems, and then we're going to try to tailor it to the needs of our community. I mean, that's kind of how that works.
And so I know we've got, so maybe we can just deal a little bit more. So as far as the vacation rental part of it, the moratorium is going to be coming back to council, as was indicated. It's going to be coming back to council to revisit that sunset period. So I imagine not only will we be discussing that sunset period, but we'll have some other discussion on what our options are, and timelines that go along with that.
Yeah, so I've actually talked to Coastal separately. I've mentioned this to you probably at several meetings, actually, at this point. They don't want us, when we're going through a general plan update process, to bring them a bunch of amendments that are going to our codes and our general plan while that's ongoing, because it's a lot of effort to have them look at our policies and so forth. But I did talk to them specifically about this one and said we might have this teed up and ready to go ahead of time, understanding that it's a concern that we have the moratorium. And the Coastal Commission was actually concerned that we implemented a moratorium on them, but then when I sort of explained it to them, well, okay, you can have up to 250, they seemed fine with that, knowing that we were going through the process of updating our general plan and zoning code, and knowing that portion of our zoning code is the implementation plan for our local coastal program, and that they'd given us grant funding to update those things, they were okay with it, because they knew we were going to have to address it at some point, because they would get a say in it, regardless of whether we chose to or not. So all of this is kind of tied together and sort of moving down the road as we speak, I guess. And so it'll be pieces, it'll start coming forward now, because that's where we're at in the process.
And so I can see there's other questions that want to be asked here. So as I wrap up some of mine, and we'll get to the recess here once we conclude all these. So it'd be fair to say that in June, July, when we revisit this, we'll have a better picture on a timeline that we would be able to move forward on the vacation rental.
Hopefully in spring we'll have an initial draft for everybody to start with from. I mean, that's the idea.
And the draft, I mean, to develop a draft at this point, what's guiding you, our staff, through developing a draft for the community?
It's the input we received to this point about the concerns related to vacation rentals. I mean, I get calls all the time about them in our department, because it sort of falls under us to regulate them, and people are inquiring about them, and people that have issues with them come to our department with the complaints that, oh, this one's not operating correctly, and then code enforcement goes out and investigates it. I will say that we don't get a whole lot of complaints about them, but that's what's sort of starting the process. And again, we want to start from a point that we know the ordinance that we're starting from was something that Coastal would certify, because otherwise we're going to start from a point that maybe we can't have an end game.
Okay.
And so that's kind of where we're coming from. We're looking at what's out there. I've talked to various groups over time, including groups related to the real estate groups that operate in this area, about what they're hearing and those types of things. I've taken input from them, from folks that are involved with our chamber and that type of thing. I mean, I get it from a lot of different folks. So
okay.
I have a lot of input and, I've received a lot to this point.
Okay. I'm catching myself on getting in the details of this, but I know we want to answer the questions. Are there any specific questions to that one? And then I'll finish up my comments on the goals that are listed.
A quick comment.
I think the comment that I have is that what I sense out there is there's a sense of urgency by a number of folks in the community that the unidentified number of potential vacation rentals that are out there are growing exponentially, and that is impacting quality of life, can have an impact downstream economically on the community with consistent, shall I say, residents that are here and contributing to the economy. And so there's this idea that many would like to see it addressed, even though I know we don't want to piecemeal a lot of things, because sending a lot of small things to Coastal is difficult. They'd like to see it come back and addressed fairly quickly because of this notion that it's out of hand.
I would note that notion's, in my opinion, incorrect. I touch base with, we get calls all the time from firms because they do the vacation rental tracking, and I'm getting the same numbers from all of them, and I have regular contact with about three or four. They call me, about every couple of months to see where we're at and if we want to use their type of service and that type of thing. And they'll call me and they're like, we see that you have 260. I'm like, we have 250, so we have 10 extra. Okay, I mean that's an acceptable number that we could track down. I'm not getting more than that, so that's kind of where that's been coming out, and that's why I say what I said.
Yeah.
Scott, I don't see that as being the issue.
Perhaps bringing that forward would be helpful to actually have data,
yeah,
to be able to counter that, because anecdotally it's difficult when people come, like constituents come to us and are concerned about it, and we don't have that data. So that would be great to have that data.
And they can certainly put in, service requests for us to look at those through code enforcement. We're happy when there's complaints, because a lot of them don't operate underneath our current standards. Like, they won't have the contact 24-hour contact number posted out front, those types of things. Those are the typical things that we run into out there when we get complaints.
Okay, Marlos, you had some?
I just wanted to ask, I guess, a question, and that really has to do with the fact that because we have 250 and they aren't following any particular ordinance or code, they can be concentrated, and I know that most of the ordinances actually separate them with space in between them. Mm-hmm. What do we do about the fact that now we have concentrations because we haven't had an ordinance, just out of curiosity?
So there'll be options coming forward. The council's going to make the decision on that, and it goes right to the grandfathering component. Do you want to grandfather the ones in that we gave a permit to? And then what does that grandfathering mean? What does it look like? When those licenses expire, they go away, and then you have to comply with the 200-foot radius between individual vacation rentals, as an example. Or you say nope, because we've been telling everybody that we've given the licenses to during this process that we're going to develop an ordinance, and that you might not be grandfathered. The council's going to have to make the decision on that. We'll certainly come forward with recommendations, and I certainly have my thoughts on it, but you'll get to make the decision.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. I'll just wrap up. My final comment was on the volunteerism portion of things. I just wanted to, some of you may or may not know, formerly I was on the State Parks, California State Parks Trails Committee, and it was all about volunteerism, doing different work on the trail. So I would suggest that model is a pretty good working model for volunteerism and doing great work on the trails out there, but the oversight is with the state parks. There's permits that are required, there's oversight, there's all kinds of different things that go on there, and it's pretty good work. So as we talk about volunteerism, and if we raise that discussion more, I would that's one of my comments that I'd bring forward on what might be adapted or adopted. So anyway, those are my comments at this point. Garrett?
Yeah, so I was taking some notes as you were sharing your net new comments on goals and objectives, so I'm gonna make sure that I captured those accurately for you, and then we'll go ahead and take a break. So if I didn't capture it accurately, please let me know. There was comment about enhancing communication about the utility discount program, exploring utility discount program connected to cannabis tax revenue, evaluating an MOU with the Chamber to further economic development objectives and possibly use salary savings to fund that, create greater efficiencies and coordination with partner agencies, enhance multimedia, multi-source effective communications plan with community in mind, engage business community in dialogue about water issues, land the plane on older objectives that we heard about here today, boat, RV, sign, vacation rental, enhance accountability of goals, objectives, measurements, progress, and completion with consistency. And in the strategic planning process and framework policy, refresh and recommunicate to the community to enhance participation. Is there anything that I didn't capture that you want to make sure is considered in our next phase?
Everything look good?
So what we're going to do is I'm going to encourage you to get your hydration and blood sugar stabilized while I clear the board. I'm going to leave everything up on the board that is there. I'm going to rearrange it. I am going to remove the definition of the goals just because when we get back, I don't want anybody to feel like you have to differentiate between a goal and objective. Just prioritize it, and your very capable staff will figure out whether or not it's redundant, whether it folds underneath another goal. Really, what we're going to be looking for is to take all of these on the board and give you an opportunity through an exercise that'll make the neck pillow look scientific for you to share with us what you think the priorities are for your community. So with that, we'll take a break and come back at 2:15.
Thanks, Garrett.
Thank you. This is our final sprint, so thank you for your patience and attentiveness thus far.
Okay, Rigmore, we're going to get started.
I promise it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Oh, he's, you know what? It's his own bag.
Oh,
he's
okay.
Leaking.
All right, there we go.
Oh, well, let's get him in a different chair.
I got it.
I'm good. Thank you, sir. I'm good. Thanks, Steve. You can take time. Oh, yeah, here's more.
Wonderful. Well, while you're on break, I took the liberties of moving everything around. It's still all up there. And this is the opportunity for us to get some consensus guidance from council on the priorities. So I'm going to explain. I didn't want to put them as 1, 2, 3, or 4 because I didn't want to start to apply math to it. So since some of you may be hungry, I'm going to appeal to your growling stomach as we prioritize. And then I'm going to share with you a little work that the city manager did when we were on the break as well. So I'm going to provide the council an opportunity with each one of these priority levels for you to assist me in placing these items in their appropriate row. The first one is the dinner plate. That is something that you want served up and complete this year. The next one is the pot with the heat turned up. That's something that likely isn't going to be completed this year, but is a very high priority for you. The next one is something that is simmering. So something that you're going to say, that's a really big priority. But if they're both assigned to the city manager, and we only have one of those gentlemen, and he had to pick between going to a meeting related to this or going to this, this is the one you want him to go to. So as you think about resources, and I really, really appreciate the amount of thoughtful dialogue we've heard from the community and the council about resources and competing interests, this is going to be a challenging area for you, I forecast. Here's the comfort that I'm going to give you, though. You're not locking yourselves in today. You are going to give your staff an opportunity to work on the staff report that comes back to you February 27th, and you're going to get to sleep or not sleep on all of these items for the next few weeks, and on February 27th when the staff comes back, if you put something as simmer and you really want to turn the heat up on it because of further deliberations or discussions you've had with the community, that will be your opportunity to fine-tune that list. The next one is the refrigerator, and I'll refer a little bit back to what the mayor had said about the goals that you have and the purpose of today in your strategic planning framework. There may be some great new ideas. And you don't want to lose those ideas, but they really are not in sequence with what can occur today with the resources that we have. Might be something great for that next four-year strategic planning session. You don't want it to spoil, so put it in the refrigerator. There may be some items that you've discussed, and I heard some of them discussed that may be can, and I don't want the trash can to think of something as being thrown away, but it may just be something that is checked off of the list. So it can either be an objective that you're like, that's no longer pertinent, or it can be something that you think, we've already done that, all we have to do is that final meeting and say we got it and take it away. Councilmember Davis.
Garrett, when you say deliver this year, are you talking about the upcoming fiscal year, which starts July 1st?
I'm going to let the city manager define the window of objective activity.
Primarily looking at calendar year 2018. That's right.
So while you were on break, the city manager came up here and looked at the existing objectives and helped hopefully start your deliberations by putting a little orange check mark next to items that on the current trajectory, work plan, and priorities provided by council last year, these are objectives that they anticipate completing this year. And so I'm going to read those off to you. And if you agree that that continues to be an objective that you want completed this year, then we can quite quickly move those up to the dinner plate. If you want to redirect staff or provide staff with guidance that some other issue is more important and you would like to move that to something that maybe we reallocate staff time and we push it to something that's not completed by the end of this year because of some other competing interest, then you can thoughtfully place that as well. But I thought it might be a good opportunity to jumpstart the process just based on the current trajectory of staff work.
Yeah. And primarily there, a lot of that is the wharf, One Water, and planning items. That you all know, you've reiterated to the community that this is the year for both of those big issues. So those are all X'd as things. There may be some things that fall into next year, but the heavy lift is this year, and we're set on that course unless council wants to go in a different direction.
So I'll go ahead and start with goal number three, which is the wharf, and I'll grab the ones that the city manager indicated are on trajectory to be completed in this calendar year. And if you want to have any further comment, deliberation, or conversation with the city manager, or you want to thoughtfully remove it, this is the time to provide that guidance. Are we good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So objective number 2A is complete the water sewer rate study and bring to council for Prop 218 process consideration any rate increase requirements to fund the proposed wharf. To B is follow CEQA guidelines, bring the wharf environmental impact report, EIR, to council for approval and certification. If it continues like this, we're going to be out of here by 3. It's not. complete and submit the state revolving fund loan application with the State Water Control Board for the wharf project to secure funding for the project.
Good.
Complete the acquisition of the preferred site for the wharf project. Take appropriate selection action and bring to council for approval a contract for design, build, construction, delivery of the new wharf.
Done. 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 Put that in the.
Yes.
Track.
Yeah. Love that.
Take all appropriate actions and bring to council for information and approval as required, information that will allow the city to make a decision to achieve water independence, include an evaluation of future options regarding our existing state water allocation.
Yeah. So put it into cooking. Thank you.
High flame cooking?
Yeah.
Okay. Budget for, select a consultant, complete, and bring to council for initial consideration a One Water plan for the city that considers all water resources from stormwater to groundwater to wastewater as a source of single water resource.
We have the consultant on board. They're working on it, but we just haven't completed that item yet.
So is it on target to be completed by December 31 of 18?
Yes, by August, mid-August of 18.
So it's still a plate. Still a plate. Because there's work to do. There's still work to do on it.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Beautiful. You've done a great job so far. I wish they were all that easy. I'm gonna now highlight the other areas where the city manager has indicated that with given staff resources and priorities, he anticipates completion by the end of this calendar year. So first is consider the proposed strategies in the economic development strategic plan and act on those most likely to generate revenues in the near term.
You said completed by, and that, could you read that again? It says act on.
Yes, yeah, so consider the proposed strategies in the ED strategic plan and act on those most likely to generate revenues in the near term.
I guess I don't understand act on. So that doesn't mean you're going to act on them. You're going to realize the revenues by the end of the year because you've acted on them and implemented. Is that what
it
you're
becomes?
Thinking?
I mean, I think this is a good discussion. It kind of becomes an operational thing, right? It's something that's ongoing. How are we, as Councilmember Davis has identified, we don't necessarily have the implementer, and we might have to use a kind of a committee of staff and our partners, including Erica, to bring those to life. But it's sort of becoming an operational thing at that point. So it's hard to say, like, you know, it's an ongoing thing we'll always be implementing.
And you're not specifying how many strategies. It could just be one, for all we know.
Correct.
It really has to do with,
right,
but making it a priority to at least look at it and do something.
Yeah, begin the work.
So by the end of the year, there will be strategies. Those strategies may be multi-year strategies, but for purposes of this objective, those strategies will be identified by the end of this calendar year.
If I could add to that, in terms of economic development, I think in the last year, 2 years, we've identified that this is an ongoing priority. And so with that, using your pictorial metaphors up there, I think we're under a little bit higher fire in terms of this economic development, more so than any sort of, you know, passive, let's see where this goes. We've, I think, identified, and especially with the ideas that Red brought up earlier, that this is a higher priority. So that's why I wouldn't go with the serving dish yet, and nor is it done. So that's why I'd go with the cooking.
Let me just revisit. These are equally of importance. These are going to be completed this year. These are not. So is there council consensus on this issue of the economic development strategic plan strategies in terms of, do you want staff to return before the end of this calendar year with an identification of those strategies?
Yes, I do.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm gonna put it up here. You can make faces and noises behind my back if I'm doing it incorrectly. Okay. Pursue opportunities and relationships that are likely to result in the revitalization and redevelopment of important. Ooh, I'm sorry. This one, I jumped the gun. This one is not X'd out. It's not anticipated to be completed this year. And here's one with a lot of citizen votes on this, so I'll tell you, put it up here right now, because that's the smart thing to do. Anyways, evaluate and implement opportunities to increase TOT revenues. So by the end of the year, staff will return with implementation opportunities to enhance TOT. Top?
Yeah. And this sort of falls in the same line as economic development. That's what tourism does every day. That's their ongoing operations. But reporting back, absolutely.
Evaluate opportunities for new or expanded revenue sources, including but not limited to paid parking, marijuana-associated revenues, and other tax measures, and a review of city fees. On target
I underline,
to come back to council before
I underline the marijuana one in particular. That one probably has most promise.
Is there something you want to tell us about that?
No comment.
If I could just interject one comment here. We also had talked about putting a streets tax on the 2018 ballot. I don't know if we're still considering that. Is it?
That's another objective.
I think that's something.
Another objective? Okay.
Oh, okay.
Separate
All right,
objective.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So staff will return with this information by the end of the calendar
that's
year.
That's right. And we could put the street tax in that grouping of revenue options.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to get full.
Objective 1E, considering council direction to identify no less than $400,000 of cost reduction across FY19 and 20, develop a cost control and reduction plan to achieve these cuts, including a complete review of staffing levels and non-labor costs in all departments, anticipated to return to council before the end of this calendar year.
Yes. Absolutely.
Develop a staff internal emergency cost reduction plan to inform future fiscal emergencies this calendar year. This is 3E. Inventory, evaluate, and refresh existing programs for volunteer groups to assist in providing routine maintenance in the city while soliciting and facilitating additional volunteer group support for routine maintenance and small capital projects. And it includes the suggested verbiage change for staff to consider, anticipated for completion this year. Yep. 3D. Complete the approved RFQ process for a marine services facility, boatyard, and bring to council for information and consideration of next steps prior to any decision on feasibility study. Continues.
That's on path, right?
On path for this calendar year.
Yeah.
Okay. Complete the general plan, LCP, rewrite no later than August 2018.
Thanks, Scott. We're still in for August.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we can change it to September.
Yeah. But,
yeah. Complete the zoning code update and approved that was started in fiscal year 2017.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Okay. Ensure affordable housing and vacation rental challenges are addressed in the GPLCP process and all land use planning.
Part of the effort.
Yep.
I got a room.
You've got a busy staff. So there are also some that were identified by the community that are currently in flight and anticipated to be completed before the end of the year. Oh, I'm sorry. One more that was an existing. Closely monitor the maintenance and cleanliness of public facilities and report to council for reprioritization of resources if maintenance is not keeping up with demand.
Ongoing.
Is there a work product that is anticipated to inform or complete this objective this calendar year?
I didn't view it as a work product. I viewed it as direction to increase the level of service. And if we didn't do that, then we would bring it back to council.
Oh, say that again.
Thanks, Scott.
My view was if we didn't achieve that goal of maintaining public facility cleanliness, then we would bring it back to council. Otherwise, it becomes an ongoing operation. I'm sure we'll have this discussion in the budget because it does have budgetary implications.
The top?
Okay. Yeah.
Great.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay. Assign a budget to the wharf. We heard that is in process. Evaluate MOU with Chamber to further economic development objectives, possibly with money from salary savings.
The first part, definitely. The second part, probably a discussion with council.
So that's a cooking one, then?
It disappeared.
Oh. Yeah, I had to cut it.
Okay. Oh, here we go. Implement marijuana ordinance?
Trash.
Done?
No, we're still working on it.
What we're working on at this point is just the applications for it. I mean, the ordinance is completed. The implementation is putting together the applications, and I have two of them done, one of them done, and working on the second.
That's what implement means, though.
We're still doing it.
Yeah.
So you're still working on it.
It's going to take time, staff time.
That part will be
done
in April-ish.
April-ish. Okay.
Well, then you've got to review them.
There's a taxation issue with it too,
right.
Correct?
In November.
Potential taxation.
That's the other piece. Yeah. That's a separate item.
Okay.
There.
Yes.
So why isn't that in the, sorry for the analogies, in the refrigerator? Because it's done and it's just waiting to be pulled out.
It's still work involved.
Okay.
Staff time.
You're going to have to attach a fee schedule to it, aren't you?
This has got multiple pieces, right? It's got the election thing is one item that's already a separate item on the board. The implementation portion of it is really us teeing it up to get the applications in for the two commercial cannabis operations that the council approved in the ordinance to allow them to come forward. And so that's the process that we'll be dealing with moving forward. And so that's the implementation piece of it, of the ordinance that you've adopted to this point.
Right, but it also includes there's permits for the grows. There's a number of things that are going to take up staff time, which is why it's implementation of the existing ordinance. Yeah.
So you're going to have to develop a fee schedule, and will that have to come back to council?
If we're going to charge fees, council has to adopt those fees.
Well, I assume we're going to charge fees.
Exactly.
Okay.
That was the point. The council decides that. I don't get to decide what the fees are. Sorry.
Clearer to the point next time.
So here's the beauty of being an impartial outside facilitator. As I researched your goals, I was impressed with how many of them had a 6 to 8 year implementation phase. Did not anticipate that there would be that many dinner plate items served up this year. So, wonderfully done by staff, I think is an appropriate is the comment that rises to the front for me, and a little bit of tap the brakes for council as we continue to load up this year's dinner plate. We can still deliberate and have dialogue about what it is, and you may thoughtfully want to move things, but for a lot of goals that had a 6 to 8 year implementation phase, 2018 is going to be a magnificent year for the city of Morro Bay, so congratulations. So we've grabbed all of the ones that your city manager has pre-identified as things that are currently in flight to be completed this calendar year, and so now I'm going to allow you to deliberate just on the dinner plate if there is consensus among council on other items that you would like to see completed this year. And then we'll just slowly move down through the prioritization levels until we've placed everything. And if we need to create another priority level, we can absolutely do that. But I think this will likely work for us from what I've heard from the dialogue. So with that, Mayor, I'll turn it over to you to facilitate the dialogue and deliberation around those other items that the council would like to see completed in calendar year 2018.
Okay. Thanks, Garrett. So I guess I'll just start to my left, and I'm assuming that everybody has already kind of thought in their own mind with what's left that they would want to have discussions on to complete this year. Red?
Exactly.
But I think, you know, if you've already thought about, you know, things that you'd like to see done this year, maybe let's have those discussions first, and then you can read the rest of them, Garrett. I think that would be fair approach.
Absolutely. So you should have in front of you the goals that were identified last year. That's all the ones that are in print. And then that's why I read off the other ones, just in case there were things that you thought, ooh, that sparks an interest in my mind to prioritize it. If you need anything read off to you, I'd be more than happy to do that. And this is your time. We can do this however you want. If you want to take a 5-minute break and come up here and take a look at these and have it be a little bit more organic, whatever makes you feel most prepared and informed to deliberate is what I'd like to offer you.
perhaps as a next step, you could just do what you just did with the remainder and just take one and just have us deliberate. And then at the end, say, are there others that you'd like to see done for this year that aren't up there?
Okay. So right now you're just identifying the things that you would want to be completed this year. And I guess if there is an obvious consensus that you think that needs to go in the refrigerator because that's we can't consider that right now, share that with me and we can make dual use of that time. So right now, I guess right now we're looking to see if there is an immediate consensus on where these are prioritized regardless of where they are. If we get to more detailed deliberations, we'll start setting those aside for the arm wrestling and debating to happen after that. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay, so let's see if there's easy straw poll consensus on these. So item number 3B is bring to council for information consideration and possible implementation a review of circulation and parking management plans and options in the downtown and waterfront districts. So is that a complete by this year? Is that a this is really important but not this year? Is that an issue you want staff to continue to work on, but if they had a meeting to pick to go to, it wouldn't be this one. Is this something to put off until your next four-year goal setting, or is this something that you want to discard?
Comments, Marlis?
Well, I wouldn't put it on the dinner plate, so I guess I would put it at a what's the below the simmer?
The refrigerator.
So that's a refrigerator. No. That's the boiling kettle.
Yeah, what's the
simmer.
One? What's the
That's
middle
simmering.
One?
That's simmering.
I put it on a simmer.
Okay, so we've got one vote for simmer. Is that a Councilmember Davis?
I'm sorry.
Yeah?
Oh. Yeah. I'm sorry. What's the simmering kettle again definition?
So if it goes in the refrigerator, there is likely not going to be a lot of staff attention to it.
Got that.
If it goes to the boiling cauldron, they're going to work really hard on it, but it's not going to be completed this year. If it goes to simmer, it's one of those medium priorities. Staff will continue to work on it. It won't be completed this year, and given competing resources, these will take precedent over these.
I'm a yes.
Okay.
On the simmer. Matt?
Yes, and I have a couple questions for Scott. In terms of downtown plans and waterfront plan, what's the dates on completion on those?
You adopted the downtown plan at the last council meeting.
Okay, so with that, with those adopted, in terms of the parking master, how would that work into those plans?
So I've gone to PWAB twice, Planning Commission twice, and it's teed up and ready to go to council.
Okay, so with that said, and you think it could be...
It's worth that. We've been just waiting.
So if it came to council, and what sort of work staff time would have to go into putting it into place and making it work? What are the next steps?
I'd have to change the title on the staff report that said Planning Commission and make it say City Council.
Okay.
With a little bit of work to update it based on the input provided by the Planning Commission.
Got it. I'm kind of torn between...
It also is tangential to the Market Plaza project.
Okay. And I guess that's where I'm thinking of, too. I'm thinking of that
and
area.
And parking in general.
Yep. And I'm thinking of that area, the Market Street Plaza. I'm thinking of the aquarium. I'm thinking of, the different bigger projects coming in the next 3 or 4 years, possibly maybe longer. And so right now that's not... This park idea of parking is not huge on my priority list, and so I could go for a simmer or in the refrigerator.
Okay. So we got everybody on the comments on that.
I have a question. I did not understand before we discussed that it was ready to come to council. So it has recommendations from PC.
It's ready. Yes, it's ready to come to council. And really, what would come out of that council meeting would be direction as to where we would go for next steps. And the next steps could be maybe put it in the simmer or the refrigerator, depending on when you wanted us to do it. But certainly, we're ready, and the information is relatively fresh. As far as input you've gotten from your advisory boards to bring it forward to council soon to get that direction, and then it can be prioritized down a little bit based on the other things that we're doing. But it's Yeah.
Is it potentially revenue producing?
Well, if you decide to go with paid parking, then yes, it would be. Or if you want us to enforce parking, then we'd probably have to have some revenue associated with it. Yes.
So I guess for part of this, what I'm getting out of this process is, without this type of input that council's saying simmer for this particular item, I guess what either we can continue this the way we're doing it and have the dialogue with you, or if we're consensus-wise saying, we're looking at it from a simmering standpoint, either we can continue the dialogue and you can give us input on that, and then we could say, maybe it should be, on the dinner plate, or it should be cooking, or when this comes back on the 27th, you would have the recommendation said, council said put this on simmer, staff recommendations for this particular item based on the timeline, it's coming, we suspect it'll come back on X date. So with that kind of input, we might be able to reevaluate the final priorities on the 27th. That's what I get out of what we're doing right now.
And that is exactly what you're doing right now. And I so appreciate and encourage you to continue the thoughtful dialogue, because we're gonna set it and simmer. But by sharing those other items that touch on this issue, you help staff understand all of the other things. And there may be some economy of scale, some opportunity to move this up and complete it this year based on the comments that you're sharing with them right now. So this is exactly the nature of conversation I was hoping for.
Okay. All right. So I feel comfortable with the simmer, knowing that we've got the comments on that, and that we may have some more input from staff and saying, we could recommend putting it on the dinner plate or, on the boiling kettle based on this, and then we can make that decision on the 27th. That's where I'm at on this item. But, and I know we've got competing conversations, so I think, I don't know if Marlis was next or John was next, and then Red. No.
All right, go ahead, Red.
Are there Coastal Commission considerations with the parking plan recommendations?
No, it's not to change our standards at this point.
If you charged for parking, it would be a coastal process, a significant process.
A significant process?
Oh, that's a nice
way. We have talked to them about it, though.
So. Yeah. Okay.
John?
Yeah, I guess I just, based on what Scott said, it will not tie up a significant amount of staff resources. It's merely coming to council ready to look at to make further recommendations that could put it down at a lower level based upon the decision, correct?
It's probably difficult for you to make the decision about where you want it, because you haven't had the presentation from me yet. And you haven't made decisions on where you want to go with it. You literally could, after you hear about it, you're like, we don't want to do that, and then it falls off the list.
So if we put it in this bowl with the spoon that's got the smoke coming up, or we're not going to see it this year?
No, I think we'd just program it when it fit on an agenda at some point, and I'd bring it forward to get that input, and then we would know where we needed to go moving forward, and we would get that direction from council at that time.
Yeah, let's just move it up to the plate for now, because Scott's ready to go. So.
Or the hot pot.
Oh, the hot pot, sure.
Yeah. As a compromise, maybe.
Yeah.
So if it's simmering, it's not going to get to us this year?
That is the definition of that category. So these aren't necessarily strictly categories of priority. Some of them are sequence and timing. Mm-hmm. And so if something is, up here it was celebrate 4th of July, even if that's not the biggest priority for the community, you're like, it's going to happen this year, so you put it up to the top. Right. That it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. If staff is in sequence to bring this back to council this year, unless you feel like you want to reprioritize that and tell staff, no, we really don't want to consider that, then I would say if it's coming back through community development this year, I would put it up at the top.
Then let's do that. It would be my recommendation.
Scott, is that the trajectory we're on currently?
Yes, it was going to be sort of this process. Okay. It was going to be coming back to you within the next couple of months.
And again, as we go through this, because we're looking at all those things on the dinner plate, and we've got to make sure that, does this item get in the way of general plan update and all the other things. And so that'll be the next discussion we'll have on the 27th. So I would agree, you know, we want to keep it going, and it seems like the recommendation, at least from maybe what the conversations we're having, is move it up to the dinner plate, and once it comes to us, we can make that next decision.
Okay. And we'll, they're good. In the staff report, we'll clarify that we're not implementing any changes to parking, because that could be a whole 2-year process.
Yep.
That would be a separate discussion.
Excellent.
I think you guys are really getting the hang of it.
Thanks.
Okay, so pursue opportunities and relationships that are likely to result in the revitalization and redevelopment of important issues, including the Morro Bay Power Plant, the existing water treatment, wastewater treatment plant site, Morro Bay Elementary School, and the Morro Bay Aquarium lease site.
We probably got a lot of comments on that. So, Matt, you want to go on that one, and then Red, and then we'll kind of switch it up, or do you want to continue left or right? Red, do you want to start on that? Sometimes it's easy to just go keep going the same direction.
I would assign different priorities to each of those projects. The power plant is kind of outside our control. The wastewater treatment plant is down the road, but something we should think about. Morro Bay Elementary, we don't even know if it's on the table. I forgot the other one. The aquarium. And the aquarium's on track. So I'd look at each one of those separately.
Well, the aquarium, we're diligently working with them right now. So could we parse out the item and put aquarium on the, if council so pleases, put it on the plate, and then everything else would be somewhere else together and lumped in?
Yeah, I'd be happy with simmering on the other three.
Could you read the components?
Yes. The Morro Bay Power Plant, the existing wastewater treatment plant site, and Morro Bay Elementary School.
So
those would all be a simmer?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just trying to restate. Those would all be a simmer, and the aquarium would be a dinner plate.
Okay. Right.
Agree.
I'm fine.
Okay.
I'll make one comment on some of the priorities. I know wastewater treatment plant, that one's ongoing. Morro Elementary, I've had some conversations with the superintendent on some of those land uses there. We'll continue to have those. Not that, you know, I have any particular say for the city, but just having dialogue with them, as well as the power plant, whether that's in the subcommittee capacity. But I would want to at least keep that on simmer. And if there's any resources that may be required for that, to raise the temperature on that as the opportunities come, I guess that's the way I'd like to frame that.
I'm good.
Okay. Anybody else? We're good there? Okay, good. Thanks.
Thank you. Bring to council for decision an item to consider adding a street improvement tax measure to the November 2018 ballot.
Street measure?
So the way I see it, you've got two options. You could trash this one, but since it's timely, it either goes to the top or the very bottom.
We're going to continue on the left to right. Keep going. Red. Sorry.
Yes. In effect, this would be another measure Q. And I would like to pursue it because I would like to give our citizens the option to say, yes or no, we are willing to tax ourselves because we like what the city has done with its money so far, and we would like to see that continued. I also see an interesting situation where the repeal of SB1 may be on the same ballot, and I could see Morro Bay voting two different directions. But I would like to give our citizens the opportunity. Just lay out the case. You can augment Measure Q and get twice as much street work. Or if you don't want to do it, it's your choice.
Matt?
I think we should put it on the dinner plate. And the reason why is knowing that we most likely will be going for 218 for our wharf here in the next few months. Knowing that that is for public infrastructure, as this would be in terms of selling it to our constituents and saying, listen, this is one idea, this Measure Q has worked,
And so knowing that the 218, and if the bids come back from the wharf and we can show that by saving money, then this would go towards our streets and public infrastructure, I think now could be the time to do this.
John?
So strategically, I sense that streets were a hot issue a year ago and still remain a fairly warm issue. I wonder if the question now isn't really, you can go to the trough maybe one time in a few number of years, and as we flush out other issues going through the budget process, perhaps there's a tax initiative that might be more general that could assist the general fund and be utilized for other things that become more of a priority as we go back and engage the community and staff. I'm just throwing that out, as opposed to one time, go to the trough, get a special tax that's only allocated, again, for public safety-related issues. And that would inhibit us from, in my opinion, going back again, trying to do something else.
I agree with John. I also think that now that we've gone to paving the streets every year, it isn't as big an issue as it was a couple of years ago when we were just paving every other year. And we've made some progress in it, and I think that's what the public wanted us to do. So I think it would be difficult to pass both a 218 and to put another tax on, and especially if we also put a marijuana tax. Not that that's going to necessarily apply to that many people, but I think it might be just too much at one time. So I would also recommend waiting on the street tax, not doing it this year.
And so the kettle is just keep it going, simmer. That's something to kind of keep that on the radar. Yeah, I looking at the dinner plate. I think from a priority standpoint, I would look for a different priority for that rather than get it done. For many of the comments that were made already, I agree SB1, may that'll be interesting to whether or not that remains or not will be something to see, but I don't think I'd be in support of it this year, given all the other items on there, which means the other question would be, if we were to do that, then we have to decide what comes off there. At this point, that's what I'm looking at, and that would be probably something on the 27th that we're going to have to deal with as well. So I think I would look for maybe keeping that simmering or for next year or something like that. That's where I'm at.
Sounds like there is a majority to put it in the simmer category to be thoughtfully reconsidered as part of an overall tax and revenue strategy, maybe not necessarily as specific as this. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing three shaking heads, so that
I'm saying
I can
yes.
count to three in my community
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Bring to council for decision proposals for a public-private partnership redevelopment of the city-owned Market Plaza property and, if appropriate, to be included in the redevelopment, the Front Street parking lot, and the parking lot at Pacific and Market.
Red, you want to start us off, or do you want me to switch to the other side?
Okay. No, that's fine.
We got a good rhythm going. We got it.
We are embarked on doing that. We have engaged a broker to market the property, so we're kind of on track to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I see that this one being more, there's an actual project to bring to you, and that might take a lot more time than this year. But yeah, it's one of those ones I didn't check it because I was trying to read the entire intent of it, and I didn't know if we would actually have a project to deliver to you before the end of the year.
Yeah, we've ticked out portions of it to this point, meaning you've authorized us to go do that, and we're engaged, like you said, the services of a broker. The next piece is to go find suitable folks out there to develop the project that might, well bleed into next year. So maybe it goes into the second category up there.
Yeah, because the actual timing is not now within our control.
Right. Correct.
So
yeah.
Okay.
So we got that in the kettle, Matt.
Work being done.
So if I understand your position, it would likely be here, realizing that some of those items may be completed this year, but the entire project is a high priority, but not all components would be completed in this calendar year? Or did I just put words into your mouth?
I think that staff's work and council's work is done until we receive a specific proposal from a developer. So I don't see any value in attaching staff time to it without knowing what the future holds.
I'm actually spending a lot of time on this. I have to work pretty closely with the brokers to put the information together for the site. We're moving forward, and one of the things we have to get an assessment of the property done. And I mean, we're putting all the documentation, you know, together so that we have a package for when folks come forward. So it's, we have to get an appraisal done and those types of things. So it's going to be, that work is ongoing.
So can I share an observation just based on what staff is doing? It sounds like staff is dedicating a lot of time to a high priority issue that is not all components are going to be completed this year. That's kind of the definition of the boiling cauldron. Unless you wanted to redirect staff's time and focus away from that project.
Yeah, so we're still, go ahead, Matt, and we'll just work this way.
In terms of when I think of Scott's workload and what he's described to council in terms of the GP and the LCP and the zoning, I understand that this is a big project, but I don't necessarily, after listening to you and hearing the priorities, the big ticket items, to me, this is more of a simmering project because you're up, getting up to speed right now. We're marketing this program and this project, but once that's done, once you get those particulars, I don't know. And I'm just trying to what I observe. I can see this not necessarily in my mind. I'm thinking simmer, but you have to. Do you think that it's going to be more time than those other projects?
It's not more time. It's just ongoing. If the brokers identified folks out there that are interested in the property, so we're going to have to start going through a vetting process once we put the particulars together for the package, and then we'll have to make a decision about, you know, whether we put it on a listing or whether we go with some of the folks that have been identified as potential developers of the property. So again, this is going to be an ongoing project that I continue to work on throughout the year.
So with that in mind, in terms of you describing that to me, I would go, I could see where the boiling cauldron would be a little bit more impetus, simply because you're saying it's ongoing and those other big projects are working, especially when we talk about the downtown and the waterfront plan, because if this Market Street Plaza comes together as a boiling cauldron, then all of a sudden we have a bigger thing going on. So I can go with the boiling cauldron.
Okay, John. So goal one is achieve economic and fiscal sustainability, and in the economic development plan, one of the key catalyst sites is this site. It's the first site that will probably be, possibly be developed, and so I would agree with what Matt said, that it's a boiling cauldron that continues to be worked on and has to.
Ditto.
Okay, so we got consensus there. Me too.
I love council members that use the word ditto. All right. And I'm skipping the ones that weren't already in the plan, not because of any comment on their importance, but just I'm sticking with the ones I could read quite easily, actually. Bring to council for consideration the results of code enforcement outreach on existing codes related to fences and hedges, and boat, RV, and trailer parking and storage on city streets and neighborhoods to determine whether to keep or modify related existing ordinances.
Red?
Scott, is that ready to come to council with recommendations?
Council would have to decide that they wanted to come forward at this point, and if that were the decision, then we would pick this back up, run it through your planning commission, and then move it forward with recommendations to council.
And what level of work would that require?
given that I'm not working on it at all right now, it would be a whole other avenue of work that I would have to start generating.
Okay. I think we have more important things that we have already identified. I know we're getting citizen questions about this, but I'm satisfied with the way our compliance officers are handling situations at the moment. So I would put this, I guess, in the, I don't know if it'd be simmer or refrigerator.
So if I could again put words in your mouth, I think what you described was the refrigerator, which was basically we're not dedicating any more staff time to it right now, but we're preserving it so it doesn't go bad, and it may generate additional citizen comment for the next four-year strategic planning cycle consideration. What you described to me, I think, would be a refrigerator.
Yeah, I think I could go with that.
Okay.
And this is the fun of speaking first, because I say something and then everyone else brings in more facts and more perspectives, and I find myself changing my mind and agreeing with everybody. This is interesting.
Point taken.
I think he's just trying to go and get out of going first. He wants John and Marlis to go first now. Scott, in terms of the zoning restrictions, in terms of looking at this, where does that fit into enforcement in terms of redoing these big ticket items for the city, the GP, the LCP, and talking about zoning restrictions? When we talk about all of this going forward, these new, where does that fit into it?
If we picked it up and started working on it right now, it could lead into and be part of the update if we chose to, say, change our standards or policies. You know, like where RVs or boats could be located on a piece of property, we could change those policies that could result out of this outreach effort. So it could be part of it.
And then knowing that we have...
But I mean, I would say,
go ahead.
It could be part of it, but it's not going to be... I mean, I'm not rolling it into that. It would be a separate effort done strictly by staff. And then if the end result was we need to change our policies, then I would give direction to the consultants to incorporate whatever that change is into the zoning code update.
And then moving forward, if we chose to to use the refrigerator with this item, we can bring it out at any point in the next couple of years, especially when we talk about the strategic framework.
When we go through this process next year, we would say, hey, this is one of the items that we put in the refrigerator. Yeah. Do you want to look at it now?
Got it.
And that would be at a point where we're, you know, hopefully done with all the dinner plan and LCP stuff, and so you're in an area where maybe there's different, more staff resources that can be thrown at it. Yeah.
I view this as an important item for the city. We have a lot of folks on both sides of this issue, but knowing that in terms of the strategic planning framework, and we're coming up onto another big year for the 4 years, knowing the status of the GP and LCP, I think I could put it in the refrigerator for a year to wait for that strategic framework.
John? Ditto, but I'd turn the dial on the refrigerator from so that it doesn't freeze over internally to just a little bit up. So that's my metaphor.
Nuance. Sixth category.
You know how when you leave the door open, you turn it down, and then things freeze. I don't want the milk to freeze.
Okay. We won't put it in the top section.
Yeah, and I might have put it in a simmering pot and turned the heat down a little bit, but you know, that's just... Sorry.
And I'm so sorry I use these icons to make you have these silly conversations. I take all responsibility for it.
Well, I think the thing that concerns me is I'm not sure how we're enforcing it now. I think if it's complaint-driven, which is what I'm assuming it is, which it was a huge issue not that long ago, and I know we got a lot of pushback, but we did a survey, and that's now 2 years ago, and so it could very well heat up again, is what I'm suggesting. So I'm happy to put it in the refrigerator for now, if people are not complaining about it. But
I'm okay with the refrigerator part of it. I can't say ditto on this. Sorry, but I think it'd be helpful to come back with the land use items that beyond the ones that are on the dinner plate. because I know when we talk about vacation rentals, other land use items, I think it'd be helpful to look at the code enforcement part of these, and so we can have that discussion and say, okay, we know we've got the vacation rental ordinance out there that we want to revisit. We've got the secondary unit ordinance out there that we want to look at, and we've got some fences and boats and RVs out there. Give us a priority on that. And that would be helpful for the for us and the community, because I think to Marlis's point, that was fairly elevated more than a year ago, but I don't think it's something we will forget about. And so I'm reluctant in the refrigerator part, because hopefully we go to the refrigerator enough, and where it's placed in the refrigerator, where the dial is, we're getting into those metaphors there, or if it's on the stove and we just turned it off, and we're going to turn it back on. But all right, I'll leave it there. But I think that's just some added input on there. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
If I could help John out with the refrigerator. My refrigerator at home is broken, so Gail and I are living out of a couple of Yeti coolers, which are not as cold as a refrigerator, so maybe that would be the icon for this item.
So I would change it and put it in the, what do you call it, Yeti cooler? Yes.
It's in the Yeti cooler. Thank you. Good luck with that. Don't eat the mayonnaise. So 4E is bring to council for adoption a rewrite of the secondary unit ordinance updated in fiscal year 16 based on changes in state law.
Being done as part of the zoning code update.
So it's in the plate thing at the top.
Okay. Okay. Begin community outreach and council discussion on future use of the 26-acre Atascadero Road site to be prepared to begin master planning on that site in fiscal year 19.
Red?
I'm sorry, I was reading this note, so I missed it. Could you go with Matt?
So we're talking about 4F.
Or F. Go ahead.
Which is begin community outreach and council discussion on future use of the 26-acre Atascadero Road site to be prepared to begin master planning on that site in fiscal year 19.
Oh, okay. I think we already covered that with the four sites that we discussed earlier. Isn't that the WWTP site?
That was on one.
We separated out... we separated out the aquarium and put the other sites here, which was Moore Bay Power Plant, Wastewater Treatment Site, Moore Bay Elementary as Simmer.
Simmer
is
in the
box. Is this an overlap with that?
Yep.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Then I'm just going to put it here because it's an overlap. Cool. Thank you, Jitto.
I gave you one.
Good job, Rick.
Okay.
Right.
Explore opportunities to protect important scenic, recreational, natural, and agricultural resources on the Estero Marine Terminal site and surrounding lands.
What number is that?
This is 4G.
Estero Marine Terminal. Red?
That's the Chevron property, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's being handled by others. There's negotiations for that property going on with some land conservancies and Chevron. So I guess we're going to have some decisions to make depending upon what comes back to us as far as sphere of influence.
Yeah. Is that a Simmer?
So the council has given direction on a preferred land use alternative that it's incorporated that area into a potential future sphere of influence. And so you've given that direction, and that's what the current land use map looks like for the general plan LCP update. Okay. That helps.
So is that Simmer?
Simmer?
Yeah.
Is that a ditto on the Simmer?
Ditto.
Well, I guess, except that I suspect that something will happen during this year. I think we may very well be asked to make a decision during this coming year, but maybe not. So maybe it's, yeah, SMR's fine. If it comes,
And to
it
help
comes.
You with that, in terms of staff resource time allocation, sounds like a SMR. If something comes forward,
right.
then that's an opportunity to consider it as something
right.
that could be completed this year. Okay.
Great. Ditto on that.
Okay, so now we are down to our net new observations, and you don't need to pay any attention to the color coding as to whether something is a goal or objective. Just consider them all to be objectives. And if there is redundancy, I'll trust that you'll help me identify the redundancy with that. So in terms of the strategic planning process and framework policy, refresh and recommunicate. Again, I think the interest was enhancing more citizen involvement. Thank you both for being here.
Next year. Red?
So,
I like going to you first all the time.
Yeah. So that's an increased focus on communication methods and broadening the way we put the messages out. And I think that's important. I'd like to see that as a dinner plate.
I realize, I'm sorry, were you trying? No. In terms of the small sample size of folks that we had here today speaking, but I think overall when we hear people talking, the diversity of communication is very key. And so I think that is a dinner plate. That, and I don't know if it, and I would think right offhand that it wouldn't be so time intensive for staff, but I think we could come up with ways to do this that then would strike at a number of different bells to get people, their ears ringing and to listen to what's going on. Dinner plate.
Ditto.
I can't say ditto now, can I? Yeah, no, I think that's important. Dinner plate, yeah.
I'll support. Thanks.
So I took the liberties of grabbing the three that were all around communications. I think those go together.
Yep.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're going to need my PIO. You're going to need my PIO.
This may also fall into that. It's another communications one, but I want you to give an opportunity to consider it as enhanced communications about the utility discount program. Do you want to include that as part of the communication strategy, or do you want to separate that out because it's pretty specific about a program?
Red?
The comment that was made was that perhaps people are not utilizing the program because they don't know about it. And that may well be truth. So, but I see this wrapped up into a discussion about enhancing the program. So I think that will be part of that other project, which I want to make a dinner plate project.
So I jump in real quick? Because we've got that as two separate ones. I just want to point it out to you. We've got the issue of mm-hmm. communications, a more broad and effective communications. We also have the possibility of connecting an enhancement of the utility discount to a tax, cannabis mm-hmm. tax, or some other tax.
Mm-hmm.
So I see one as being connected to communications, if that's how you see it. And your acknowledgement of the other one, I think, is also tied to some of the comments that I've heard from council around your tax strategy moving into the 2018.
Yes, I agree that it can go with the communications, the other three.
Okay.
Matt? I do agree, and I think it's very key to not only just communication, but writ large to the WARF, to people on limited incomes and whatnot going forward. So the communication with this, if we can help with money for folks,
It's just, it is communication, but it covers a lot of bases. So I'm for it.
Thanks, John. I think it's a refrigerator item that comes out at the appropriate time when the wharf project 218 stuff and all of that is done. And I don't know if that's this year, but I could be persuaded by the majority.
I think I would put it with communications. I think if we talk about communications in the big sense, we think about all the different ways and the different things that we need to communicate to our citizens about, and this is one of them, and it's an important one. And so if we develop a strategy for that, I would like to see that included as the communications piece, which I do think is a dinner plate item.
Then I would say ditto to that, thinking about it that way. That's a good point. Thank you.
I would agree with the dinner plate item for the communication part of that item. I think it's probably something we could, some low-hanging fruit we could address.
So we'll stick with the utility discount program, and this is exploring its potential connectivity to cannabis tax.
Red.
Yes, we have, I think, 5,500 sewer connections. Is that right, Rob?
Approximately.
Okay. And we have about 1,000 ratepayers in the city who qualify for low income. We have about 100 of those who are actually participating. We have heard from our citizens that one of the dangers of increasing the water and sewer rates will be that we will drive out our low-income residents. And I think that those 1,000 people are a treasure of Morro Bay, and its demographic. And I want to preserve them and their ability to live in Morro Bay. So to me, this is an extremely high priority item. It's a huge quality of life. So it definitely goes on the dinner plate.
Matt?
I agree. If we can get this tax through, I think that would be a perfect use of it. So I agree. Dinner plate.
John?
Are we talking about marijuana tax?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Dinner plate.
Excuse me. Dinner plate.
Yes. So the other part of that, Brett, in your comments too, I imagine that, you know, being able to having the discussion on 218 vote for the WRF, it's probably prudent for us to be able to have something prior to that, so we have some ideas. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's all right. Thanks.
So next up, we have enact vacation ordinance quickly before general plan update as it's a priority. So vacation ordinance.
And Scott, you updated on it. Scott Graham, you updated us on the vacation rental portion of things?
Yeah, like I said, the we're going to probably see something coming up here in the next couple of months, probably in March, assuming we can get through the development standards portion of the zoning code updated. It will be included in Module 3, so that will be the first time it gets rolled out. So it's coming forward.
So it's on the plate, or it's cooking?
It's coming. I mean, it'll be coming out before the end of the year. So, yep.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Sorry. I guess I should just say that.
Did it.
Yeah.
Ensure affordability of the WRF utility discount program.
I think we've
already got connectivity there.
Apparently I'm busy.
That will help inform that discussion. Code enforcement is a priority. I don't see a real action on this, but you may.
We already talked about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did. You want to just get some consensus on what we're doing with that?
That'd be great.
It's in the refrigerator.
It's in the refrigerator.
It's in the refrigerator.
It's in the Yeti.
Yeah.
Third shelf.
What?
It's in the warm refrigerator.
It's in the Yeti cooler.
It's in the Yeti cooler.
This is the Yeti.
Your refrigerator is turned off.
It's in the Yeti.
Next exercise, we're going to have a refrigerator and we're going to have a Yeti next to each other.
This is one that you talked at great length about. Enhance accountability of goals, objectives, measurements, progress, and completion with consistency. I think it goes with your communications, but it may be larger than that.
And I think it needs to be tied for 2000. We need to have that completed for 2019 as part of our more robust workshop and those types of things. So I would think that would have to be on the dinner plate, but maybe I'm talking out of turn. Red?
Absolutely. We need to bake that into our whole goal-setting process. If we don't have measurable outputs, how do we know when we're done?
Matt? Going back to I totally agree with you. It is definitely the communication and how we do it, and it's definitely the KISS principle, keeping it simple, smarty. But we have to show people and from the get-go. And if we can do this as ASAP to show the strategic framework, especially building up to the big meeting that we'll have next year, but showing all of this and that PR aspect of this. So I definitely agree, and sooner than later. Dinner.
Okay. John?
Ditto.
Ditto, ditto.
Okay, we got it.
Great, and I'm going to share an observation with you. I'm seeing the fifth goal emerge as your communication strategy. Probably not a surprise to any of you. But the other one that I grabbed that is probably going to be connected to that is enhance multimedia, multi-source, effective communications plan with the community in mind.
Yep.
Good with. So the next one is just encouraging you to do existing ordinances. So I'm going to let those fall in with where you prioritize those existing ordinances, if that's okay.
Great.
This, I believe, is your code enforcement issue, your old ordinance, boats, RVs, signs, vacation rental. Is that still our Yeti cooler?
Yeah, and I think the comment was... we have those all listed, but we need to be able to convey what the priority is for that.
And we have signs done and being plugged into the zoning code update right now. And we've already talked about vacation rentals, and so, yeah, we're rolling that out soon. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Any
is
other
that appropriately placed? No? Good.
Well, I mean, I think we'd have to split it in half and rip it in pieces and put it in different places. But, yeah, we got it. Yeah.
Okay. Staff knows exactly how they're going to split that out for the 27th.
Refrigerator, excellent. Doors, the different Yetis, all that. Yeah.
Okay. Engage business community in dialogue about water issues.
Which one?
Engage business community in dialogue about water issues.
Communication.
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 Yeah.
Communication.
Was that a... Ditto all the way. We're getting ditto. So
I saw shaking heads all the way around.
Good.
Create greater efficiencies and coordination with partner community organizations. I think Councilmember McPherson wanted to speak to this one.
Right. Yeah.
Red, I think Marlis wants to say something. Go ahead.
Well, this is important to me. I honestly think we're not fully utilizing our volunteers and our community organizations, and we need a better overall strategy. It's partly the partnership policy, but it's also the way we engage with our to help get our citizens more involved, and so that we can actually leverage their resources and their time, and we can partner with them. So for me, it's a priority. I would like to see it done this year, but I don't know if there's time. We'll see. But I would put it on the dinner plate.
John?
I agree. I ditto.
Matt?
I want to agree absolutely with dinner plate.
of that, but I'm just part of my mind is on how are we going to do that with everything else we have up there. And that is not to dismiss, Marlis, any of the importance, because I absolutely agree. I'm hesitant to put it, you know, on the dinner plate, and then we don't do it. And so part of me, okay, I'm between the boiling pot and simmer plate.
Okay, Red?
I want to put it on the dinner plate, and I want to hear Scott respond to us on the 27th as to how that's going to work with everything else that's on his dinner plate.
Good answer.
That's the Scott with two T's.
I think that's a good answer. I mean, I was going between the dinner plate and the boiling, but I think come 27th, there might be some shifting going on, and I think that's the reality to it, and I think we will make that decision. So whether or not we're having dinner or having it cooked.
Okay.
This is fun.
So I'm gonna put it like that because it's crossing both,
sure.
But with a start there. All right. Incorporate VRBOs and RVs into TBID TOT at 3%.
That's ongoing right now.
Coming back to us.
From the TBID, that was voted down 2-2 or 3-3.
Yeah, it's not
3-2. 2-2.
It did not pass the vote, and TBID did not vote to continue the item, so essentially they have stopped deliberating. So
it's two things, right?
If council wants to,
then we want to direct them back to work something out, or we just say, "Oh, we accept that vote." I guess that's where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ditto.
What does ditto mean?
ditto.
That was great. Like that.
True or false?
Ditto means yes. Means I disagree with no. I thought. Because it would be coming back that it's a dinner plate item only because it's coming to council, and it's probably coming this year since TBID didn't do anything for further direction. So it really isn't a big staff resource issue right now until it comes to us and we say whatever.
Okay.
Yeah? Is that what we were?
I would not expect it to come to council without a TBID recommendation. So if TBID is not planning to reconsider it, it seems like a refrigerator item to me.
If we have no direction at all, right? There's been no decision, so it seems like we'd have to have something out of that.
I guess we could direct TBID to put it into their work plan,
which it already is.
I guess what Red, I was thinking that since it's a goal, that the recommending body has discussed it, and just like the Wharf CAC, we receive recommendations and or sometimes discussion about an item that eventually comes to us for decision. And so either we don't consider it important, but I'm not comfortable saying that. Because I haven't heard the dialogue presented to us as to what it was. I wasn't at the meeting and didn't hear it, so I was hoping to hear that conversation to be further informed.
I can chime in on that if you want.
Yeah.
So, and Jen, correct me because I will be wrong. They did extensive outreach, and Connie, when you heard us before, and Jen as well, to elicit opinion, and boy, did they get it. A whole wide range of opinions on what should be done. Should there be parity with hotels or not? Of course, if you're a vacation rental owner, you don't want to pay anything. Or RV, you know, folks feel like they have a different clientele altogether, so they have a different view. So staff tried to bring something that found a compromise measure, say, let's bring in the vacation rentals and RVs at 1%. Hotels pay 3%. 1% we felt can be justified because they're already getting a benefit from the tourism marketing. It markets the location. So whether or not you decide to book through a hotel or through an RV, you know, location or vacation rental, you're drawn to it by the marketing, so the theory goes. So the hoteliers get an added benefit because we have a website that's specific to hotels. So we felt like there was a, you could actually delineate the benefit gained, and we would be legal from that perspective. But the board, there was only four members that were participating. One was conflicted out of the discussion, and there was an absence of two members.
Chairman and the co-chair were both absent.
Correct. And the feeling that the representatives kind of the hotel side said, look, you know, if you're going to bring them in, maybe now is a good discussion to have about whether we should reduce the hotel's assessment. And so that was like a whole nother thing to consider, to completely separate this. And so it just really confused the conversation. And really, from staff trying to decipher what it all meant, it was really hard to draw conclusions. Ultimately, when it comes down to it, though, vacation rentals don't want to pay into something they don't think they're going to benefit from. So some of them want to have their own T-bid, which would require new staff, which would eat up all the assessments they may derive from that. But then there's also the parity issue with hoteliers paying for something that the vacation rental owners benefit from. So staff felt maybe it would be more appropriate to address the bigger vacation rental ordinance first, and then maybe after doing that, there'd be an appropriate time to bring back a discussion on the assessment. But we're happy to do whatever council pleases, and we can have this a more formal discussion about it at a council meeting, but just understand that there are very passionate views on this issue.
Okay, so that particular item sounds to me like it's on the dinner plate, because it's going to come back to us in a discussion.
If you wanted to. I mean, yeah, I guess we can put it on the agenda for to see if council wants it to be brought back, or council can direct us during the next council meeting or someone in the future to say, during the future agenda topics, say bring this back. Because right now we don't have direction from the board to bring it back, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So if there's consensus, we can rewrite this one just to say direct staff to come back to council in 2018 with an assessment and recommendations on VRBO.
Discussion.
Yeah. Okay. Because this one's a little specific. Yeah.
I understand.
Okay. So we'll create another one for this.
All right. Good.
All right. Boy, we're getting close. Goal number two, objective F, have a public forum to discuss state water. Is that part of communications, or is this something we want to, as an example of the communication strategy, or something you want to pull out separate as your one water objective?
Red, I'm going to keep it going in the same direction.
Yeah, Rod, didn't you say that you already have something going
on the one water plan
as part of the one water plan?
So we've reached out to the county and to our own city legal staff to provide an analysis, and that will be brought forward to council as part of that one water plan. It probably would be very difficult to get state water folks here to Morro Bay. For one thing, we're not a state water contractor, we're a state water subcontractor. County would be easy to get. The city of Morro Bay is 0.03% of the state water supply usage, to give you perspective as to how much we actually use. So I think county, maybe CCWA, still doubtful. Central Coast Water Authority, they're the provider for Santa Barbara County, and they provide the treatment for the water over at Colonial Pass. I think it probably should be part of the one water discussion, see what comes out of that, and then council could provide direction if they need additional information.
To my mind, that is essential information for us to have, both with the one water plan and with the development of our WRF. And as a former state employee, I would guess we're going to get better information from the county water folks than we would get from state water people. So I'd make this a dinner plate, just as you described.
Okay, thank you.
Matt? So I go ahead, John.
The issue by the individual that brought that forward had to do with hearing direct communications that were non-filtered by staff
from such folks as the water board, regional entities, the county, etc. We asked Carrillo during the time that they were here presenting the One Water Plan specifically to bring back information regarding their take, because they had recent interactions, I think you said, Rob, with the state folks, and I assume this is all coming back, so I think it's communication ditto, but I wanted to give that background info to tell you why I feel that way.
Marlos?
I agree with John. It isn't just finding out, it's a matter of the public having confidence and actually hearing it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So there is some reason to certainly consider that in our communication strategy as something we may want to do. So I would put it on the dinner plate.
I'd agree on the dinner plate, and back to the conversation with Red and Rob on this, just to be so I understand it. Coming back with the One Water Plan, we will have the information for input from State Water, County, and Legal on it may not be a forum as described, but we will have basically that information in the One Water Plan per the discussion we're having right now.
In addition to that, the opinion regarding the Citizens Initiative measure and what that means to our requirement to take state water, or was that more of an advisory vote?
But we will have that kind of level of detail in the
Correct.
Water. And at that time, we can also redirect or give other input from a council perspective on further research or input, be it what the individual proposed, what options there would be to have some another layer of independent review. But that would be a time to review that data.
Yeah, and just remind council, it is a bit of a crystal ball right now, because the California Water Fix is not a project as of yet. There is no costs associated with it.
Okay.
It'll be dynamic reporting that occurs as you get new information continuously.
Correct.
Yes. Okay. All right. Great.
Okay.
Thanks.
So I put that as an objective under your communications goal or strategy. And manage homeless issues, an issue daylighted by city staff.
Red?
So this...
Excuse me, Greg. Pardon me, Chief. I think I was going to have with
oh, Red.
With Red. Yeah, I'm sorry. And then we go through, and I think he might have some questions for you. Pardon me.
I'm sorry, I missed the word.
Manage homeless issues.
Well, I think the chief is on top of that. So let's hear from the. Okay. The homeless issue is an ongoing quality of life issue that can have, I believe, impacts on economic sustainability. Chamber tourism impacts on our city team, the community at large, and of course the homeless that we're trying to serve. Scott pointed out earlier that in many of our departments, we're operating at probably about 90% capacity based on our ongoing duties. But the reality is that managing the homeless issue has impacted the time that our employees have to put to this problem. So, and we've worked as a team. But there are some concerns. Employee safety as we clean up the camps and our employees are exposed to that environment. Of course, impacts on police services, public works services, fire and harbor. These all take away from our duties. So what we're trying to do is have a broader outreach and bring more of the stakeholders to the table, the community, tourism chamber, and then kind of look at the long-range impacts of the homeless issue. So we wanted to put that as a forefront to have a plan. We've seen examples of, I think, many communities that have not gotten their arms around this problem appropriately, and it grows bigger. So I think it does touch many of the goals, or at least one or two.
Everything I heard makes this a dinner plate item.
Matt?
I agree.
John? Marlis? John?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to agree. I'm also a liaison to the Estero Bay Alliance for Care, and so I see the other side of the issue, and I think it is a matter of bringing everybody who's addressing the issue together, and as long as the chief is willing to do that and anxious to do it, I would support that as a dinner plate item for next year.
Well, the complexity of the issue is so complex. How's that for great rhetoric? And it encompasses, thank you, Chief, for that explanation, because I think it was very broad-based and I understand it. I think it's a dinner plate issue. I'm worried about staff resources because this one could consume significant staff resources. So I would honor our city manager as he reviews this from our input. I just want us to be open to the feedback on the impact for staff time in addressing the issue, which has to be addressed. So I'll go with dinner plate for now, but with the caveat that I know that there's going to be a great impact on resources, and it concerns me.
Okay. I appreciate the comments. I'm looking at it as a kettle item, but I think I'd like to understand if within this homeless issue, if there's one particular item that could be on the dinner plate for 2018, and the homeless issue in large is more of a kettle type of thing. And to that end, one of my comments in that would be we have had some outreach from volunteer organizations, faith-based organizations that have wanted to do warming shelters and things like that, but we don't have the support for that. So I would throw out that would we be able to assist with our volunteer organizations with a warming shelter, whether or not, I wouldn't say from my perspective that the management of that would be on the onus on the city, but volunteer organizations have reached out to be able to manage that part, but we haven't crossed the finish line on there. So I think there needs to be some partnership there. So maybe that's one item that, as I see it, could be on the dinner plate, and that the overall issue of homeless issues could be in the kettle. And then I'd reserve, input from our chief and city manager when it comes back on the 27th. Is there any other comments?
The 4-1, by the way.
Got it.
But I think I was saying the same thing. In essence, I think it's so complex that and so resource intensive that I'm going to wait for feedback to move it anywhere else than where it is now.
And I would anticipate that when this comes back to you on the 27th, this is a broad goal and well articulated by the chief. I think it will likely come back as something that is more measurable or objective, to return with a report by the end of the year on methods to decrease the negative impacts of homelessness in the downtown, or whatever smaller bites that will allow you to pick and choose which things go on the dinner plate versus which things go in the cauldron, or you say that that's not of interest to the community right now.
Okay.
All right. Okay. And we have one last one, and it's almost funny that we're ending with this one. Do not start another goal before completion of all goals and resolutions you started last cycle. So I think that's more a philosophical one. And that completes all of the public. We've got another one.
Sorry, guys. It's all right. I'm up a little late.
If you go ahead and hand it. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it turned on?
Actually, I don't have much of a voice right now, so I'll be short. My name's Dave Zevely. I live here in North Morro Bay. I know many of you. I don't know exactly where this fits, but as far as it being on there, I like the cauldron, though. That one looks steamy and hot. So, but I like the porridge also. I'd like to see the speed reduced on Highway 41 as you enter the city. It's really important to everybody who goes to Ace Hardware and who enters and exits the road in that area, because as you come into town from Atascadero, it's a blind corner, and people use the turn lane as a passing lane as they're coming through there. So whoever's in that middle lane, the turn lane, going left or right, is subject to a head-on collision. And I've seen and experienced near misses at that in that area, and I know that there have been some accidents along there, and I even understand that there was a death there in sometime in the past. So I feel it's very important for our quality of life and the safety of the community and visitors to reduce the speed along Highway 41 prior to the city limits. And once it is low, reduced prior to the city limits, to keep it low enough so that it's safe for cars to enter and exit onto that roadway for all that are concerned, whether it's a resident or a tourist who is unfamiliar with the area, at least they'll be able to have that speed low enough to where they can look around a little bit and get their bearings. So that's my addition to this meeting. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave. Okay. That's the last one. Okay. And we can look. I actually would like to ask Rob a question on that, as far as how that interacts with Caltrans and how that would work.
Thank you. That area is under the jurisdiction of the state of California, both Caltrans and CHP. So we would need to make a request to Caltrans to do an engineering speed survey. It's going to be a difficult ask. I mean, the question is easy to do. The changing of the speed limit is going to be difficult because of the state statutes on how you set speed limits on highways. We will bring this up the flagpole to Caltrans and to the CHP. In my experience, there probably will be no reduction in speed there.
Okay.
John, maybe some more enforcement, but I'm not sure there would be any reduction.
Okay.
Just a quick question, Rob. Would the speed, the placement of the speed monitoring devices occasionally or intermittently be helpful, do you think, in mitigating, you know, the ones that we use? So you are going, you know, 110 and you should be going 25?
They may. I mean, really. Those
he drives a BMW, driver feedback. By the way.
Driver feedback. I could editorialize about why people speed along there. It's impatience. It's I can't slow down, but we'll. I'll save a minute or 30 seconds or 10 seconds by doing it. But anyway, we'll run that up the flagpole. It's out really outside of our jurisdiction. We may need to engage the council and support if we decide to write a letter to Caltrans, but we'll start at the administrative levels first and then report back.
Okay. Red, comments?
I'm satisfied with Mr. Leivick's approach, and I don't think we need to editorialize about why people speed or don't speed. If
we can have Caltrans do a speed survey and determine if there's any adjustment that needs to be made. And I like the idea that John proposed of putting the radar sign out there, because that's the cheapest level of enforcement that we can start with,
right.
Other than placing police officers out there. But so ditto to what Rod said.
Only question, Rob, you have a number of different solutions. We'll see how far they go. Should we be putting it up here, or is this just something that it can be handled?
I think it's a task for staff to engage our...
In your free time?
In our free time. It doesn't take much time on our part to do this work. It'll take a lot of time on Caltrans to respond.
Okay. And then with that, then you could always bring that back to us, and then we can put it out on the...
Our communication protocol.
There you go. Then we can go back and see. There you go. Thank you.
Okay. John? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, Marlis?
Yeah, I'm good, too. Does it help for citizens to write letters to Caltrans? Is that something that we could recommend as well, in addition to you writing a letter?
I'm probably going to start with a phone call to the traffic ops. And see if they have very many complaints regarding it, see what the accident history is, you know, how many people have to die
before
something gets done. Okay.
But
I
you'll
know the
report.
Answer to that question, but I'm not going to say.
Right, but you'll report back to us.
Yes.
Thank you.
One quick question. And this is maybe a peripheral issue, but what is the possibility, cost, and or availability of, you know, the speed camera that automatically tickets you? And I'm just thinking out loud, that happened to me one time because I was driving the car that the mayor was referring to.
Not just the car, the BMW.
But I got onto one of those areas down in Southern California where it was a toll road, and I had not previously signed up for the toll, and the camera got me, and then I got this nice ticket. And I guarantee you, if I ever approach that area again, I will know it, and I will get my pass before I get there. So I'm just wondering, just for my own curiosity, how do you do that, and is that even something to consider?
Toyota coming into town.
I know there's some legal difficulties in doing that. City manager said, believes that it's only allowed for red lights, not for speeding. I know different agencies, 10 years ago, it was the most popular thing to do, was speeding cams and red light cams, and I rarely see them anymore. Maybe the chief knows, I don't know.
Yes, many of those have not withstood legal challenges, and so they've kind of gone the way of the dinosaur, really.
Okay. Looking pretty good.
So I put that on the top because staff is going to complete that this coming week, it sounds like, which is awesome. You have done an amazing job. You've placed absolutely every goal and objective before you, and... staff is going to take this information and process it for their staff report and presentation on the 27th. And so now it's my pleasure to turn it back over to Scott.
Yeah.
Thanks, Garrett.
Yeah, thank you, Council. Plate is full. I think Scott's on the plate. He's actually the food. No. What we'll do is kind of, as much as we can, summarize the high points of the discussion for the staff report for the 27th. Obviously, I'll be putting filters on this as far as staffing impacts, the economic development potential, to look at that as a, staff savings, using that for a position, communications. A lot of cities create standalone positions to do comms, to do it well. We'd have to understand what that might look like. Volunteer management, a lot of cities have volunteer coordinator positions because if you want to do it well, it requires a position. The alternative route is to do it by committee, which we have done, but maybe there's something left to be desired. So these, I think it presents choices for council. Of course, that's all weighed against the first point I made when we started this discussion about the CalPERS increase that's coming and the ratcheting down effect that will be required on our expenditure side. Hoping that we get a lot of new revenue enhancements, but a lot of the effort that we see up there are going to be 5 to 10 years down the road on the revenue side. So we have to think really hard about the expenses and what anything new we're going to put on, what are we going to take away, and more. Not trying to be doom and gloom, but these are this is a filter that I'll apply to kind of the report, just so you're eyes wide open about how you want to move forward. But it's pretty clear that we have a pretty good work plan, and some things were taken off, which is great. I think this is probably doable for next year, for this year.
Okay. I'll look for any other comments, and I do have one I wanted to add, because as I looked up our strategic investment plan, and I had this question earlier, and I was wondering if we can at least have that back on the 27th, and that has to do with the high-speed fiber investment, and there was $150,000 allocated to that, and that's something that hasn't been completed yet. So I was wondering if we could at least have some information on that when we come back on the 27th, and if that's something we need to reprioritize. I know it wasn't necessarily on here to put in the refrigerator to take off or not, but there was allocated funds for that, but it hasn't been completed. And I just wanted to make sure that we had touch bases on that. And if there's any comments on that,
I can support.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Support. Okay. Yes. Good. Thanks. Just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Like, whoa. Okay. And I think that's it. Are there any other comments from council? No. Seeing none. So at this point, go ahead, Red.
Yeah. I want to thank Chief Olson for leading us through this, and I'm just really impressed with what we did today. I'm daunted by the number of items on the dinner plate, but Scott says, bring it on. Of course, he's looking around at his staff. just thank you, everybody, for a great participation here.
Great job, Matt. Yeah, good. Yeah, thanks. And Garrett, thank you very much as well. Yep.
Yep. Yeah, quick comment. It's great to see staff here on a Friday after 12 noon.
Wow.
Sorry, I just...
Blow.
Oh, is that on? No.
We were doing so well.
I really wanted to thank, first of all, staff, because, we get to be the policy setters and prioritize this stuff, and now the real work occurs, because you got to take it back and figure it all out. And so I commend you for that, and I thank you for that. And Garrett, thank you again for your leadership. I just wanted to echo what has been said. Great to have you. Please thank Mayor Heidi Harmon for us for lending you out, and the council as well. We certainly appreciate the shared resources that come. And that shows great collaboration between the cities. Yeah. The other last thing I just wanted to say is thanks to the public for being here. It's unfortunate that we didn't have greater participation, but I understand also timing is difficult on a day like a Friday afternoon. But there are other alternatives available. I think on the website there's a portal to go to give input on the goals. And so anybody watching, I communicate to you, please use that portal to give any input that you have. And
just a comment that it's goals at Lori, help me out. Say goals at morrowbayca.gov. Just send an email with your input.
Is there a link on the website that you could go to that just says goals input? Is that easy to put?
It's under hot topics. So the first thing you see when you
So under hot topics on the website.
Yeah.
That'd be great, and because we'd certainly want to get as much input as possible, and thanks to those of you that were here. Appreciate it.
Marlis?
I would just say the same thing. Thank you, everybody, for being here, especially you, Garrett. We really appreciated your help. And we can all now go out and ask 10 people to come to the February 27th meeting so that we have more participation when we actually make a decision on these goals and objectives. So we still have another shot at it. So we'll make sure we advertise that. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Marlis. I just wonder, reiterate with that as well. We do have an opportunity. We have a council meeting on February 13th. We can give us a little bit of update announcement on the outcome of this, so we'll be able to speak to this pre-27th meeting at the February 13th. We can do a brief announcement and let people know. And we did have, you know, some attendance to that, and part of the other discussion to reinforce that. The broader conversation of goals will take place in 2019, as these goals that were formulated were really done with much more detail. This is just revisiting some of the goals that were established. So I don't to downplay that the level of input from the community or the outreach, but when we get to the 2019, those broader base goals will be reset with really, really broad outreach. So with that, we at this point we're going to do a recess, as I understand it. So we'll recess. We're going to come back at 5:45, 5:50, 5. What would that be? Because we've got a noticed meeting until 6 o'clock, and so we cannot adjourn the meeting at 4 o'clock. We've got a noticed meeting to 6. So, you know, lessons learned. But we will be here. So give me a time frame on that. Which would be 5:55. So at 5:55, we'll recess until 5:55.
And only council, here. I mean, the staff can leave.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, I will be here and council will be here at 5:55.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding us of that process. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
No, seriously, I do.
Yeah,
I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, and so as well. So with that, we'll take a short recess and we'll be back at 5:55.
Cool.
All right, thank you. Okay.
You do it all, but one man. I want to announce staff cuts. This depicts the cuts.
Okay, we're actually live now. Hi. Okay, welcome back, everybody. The mic is on. We have re-adjourned into our goal setting retreat. And it is 5:55, so we're here to take any further public comment. And just as a piece of information for our viewing audience, we did adjourn at an earlier time. Our meeting was set from 12 to 6 o'clock, so we're reopened for our 6 o'clock close time, and we have 5 minutes to take public comment. And at that, the clock is ticking. Is there any public comment at this point? It seems as though there's none. How about council? Any comments from council?
Yeah. Why is it only the mayor has a mic?
I want to thank the public for coming out earlier today. And this was fun. Not as much fun for Scott, maybe, as for the rest of us. But we're looking forward to February 27th to have our goals come back to us and with staff input. And looking forward to a very productive year 2018. Yeah.
I have no comments.
And for the viewing audience, we started breaking down and we're sharing mics, but actually that's pretty good. So go ahead.
It's good. Shared resources, an example of shared resources. Thank you. I'm on. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. Yes, I also wanted to thank staff earlier for all of the input and our facilitator, who was lent to us by San Luis Obispo, the city of, Garrett Olson, did a fantastic job. Thank you, Scott, our city manager, for arranging that. Very productive day. Glad to be part of it. Looking forward to our next council meeting on the 27th, correct, of February. To talk about goals at that time on the 27th. So thank you. Hope to see you all there at that time if you have input on our goals.
Yes, well, I could say the very same thing. I hope that everybody comes out on the 27th. I would point out that the goals and objectives that we looked at this afternoon were ones we hope to accomplish in 2017-18. So we're on target, and many of the same ones ended up on our plate for 2018. So I think we have our marching orders, and so does staff. Thank you, everybody.
Mr. Mayor?
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for your comments and work. And for our viewing audience, I don't know what the camera's looking this way, but we started out with a full staff and audience today, so we're thankful for that. Thankful for Scott and staff and everybody coming out today, as everybody's mentioned, and Garrett, and did a great job, and our AGP folks for setting everything up. You guys are great. And with that, we do have our February 13th City Council meeting, so we will have some announcement on kind of an update on that, and then on the 27th we'll have the full report come back to us. And with that, we don't have any public comment at this point, so we'll conclude and call the meeting adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.